earlier on, there a couple weeks ago, I was doing an interview with the current points leader for the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman, and the kids were following me around, and Noah finally came up to me. He goes, "Hey, you're going to interview me?"
Yeah.
So he's just 9 years old, and you know, this is going to be incredible to watch him grow in the sport.
We had a lot of fun last night. If you weren't with us, got to let you know, we were right down on George Street last night at the new Wingin' It location. Had race cars down there. We had the 22 of McFarlane was out there. We had Josh Collins in the 56. We also had St. George. I see the number one legend car rolling out onto the racetrack. Everybody had a good time. That place was packed. We had a ball with it. And now we get a chance to go racing.
We made history last night.
Yeah, we sure did.
I don't think anybody's ever ran a car. You're not even allowed to run a car down George Street, let alone a race car.
Yeah. So, how did you pull that off?
We just winged it.
Yeah. Look at that.
At the Wingin' It restaurant.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, things are getting going here, Joe. Leading out front there, we got Cody Johnson in the 94.5 car from Northern Bay. And then in the two spot, we got Ryan Murray in the 33 car from CBS. He is the current leader. In the third spot, Chris Cooper in the 3 car from Old Shop. Ryan St. George, who's got a couple of checker flags for him this season, in the 1 car from Winterton. And then also, to complete the field there, number 53, Morgan Oates. He's a rookie this year, and he's from Victoria.
Some beautiful-looking race cars here at Eastbound International. You guys have done a really good job prepping these machines. George's car, St. George's car, Ryan's car, seen it at Riverside International Speedway. Wasn't that color. The guy's got it redone again.
Dennis Porter's taking the season very serious. He's been calling out that today will be a 26-lap heat for him.
Yeah. Last night we heard.
It's only a 25-lap feature, so he's counting on that extra lap for victory. But this one's going to be a very interesting heat race. You got the current leader, 33, Ryan Murray, as well as car number 3. This is a big season for the Hickman Automotive Group car. He's done very well, took a lot of checker flags in the heat, but he's yet to take the checker flag in the main. So have an eye on number 3, and then, of course, Ryan St. George, who's back in action with a couple wins.
Green flag in the air. Good start here at Eastbound International. Side-by-side battle all the way down into turns number 1 and 2. If you've never seen this racetrack, beautiful banking here. Mike, it really holds these cars in, but, man, when you break that car loose, it goes crazy.
Yeah, it's a definitely a unique track. You know, the 12-foot elevation in the backstretch, the uphill 1-2, downhill 3-4, gives them a ride coming out of 4.
Ryan Murray is your early leader, one lap in, heading off into turns number 3-4. We've got the one car. Ryan, a pair of Ryans up front here. Look at this. They're going to be getting it on here. Lap 2 is complete. We still got the 33 out front, but the one's right there.
The 95 car, Cody Johnson's doing double duty for the Division II NASCAR here today. So we're going to see a lot of Cody Johnson here today. He's been trying to dial the 95 in all season, and he's definitely going to be a competitor in the main.
Side-by-side battle on the exit of turn 2. Now Ryan St. George. Is it Ryan St. George? Yes, it is. And I'm going to struggle with names all day, but by the end of the day, Mike, I should have a lot of them dialed in. 33 leads the race, but the one of Ryan St. George is on his way.
By the end of the day, you'll be saying, oh, yes, bye.
Oh, yes, bye. Yeah.
Get rid of the A.
Yeah, we got to get a few different lingo things happening. Oh, look at this, charge for the lead.
Just inches from Murray there in the 33 car. St. George is definitely going to put some pressure here.
Flagman indicates to the field halfway through this qualifying heat race. 5 laps in the books. They're coming back to the 6th lap. St. George trying the high side of the racetrack. Ducks down low. Still can't seem to get it done. That 33 is hooked up, but here comes St. George.
St. George is a very patient driver, and the 33 car is sometimes he likes to do the old dirt track drifting, but St. George is very patient. He's going to be waiting for his opportunity here.
And it looks like he's going to get it. Prefers the high side here at Eastbound International. Ran out of real estate, though. Sort of came off the racetrack a wee bit. Tucks it back down low. How much you want to bet we're going to see the one go down low next time? Mike, you can't do it on the outside.
Little lawn mowing on the front stretch here.
Yeah. Tim Terry will be saying, I know exactly where that guy was. Timmy will be tuned in.
Like I said, Chris Cooper in the 3 car, he will be there in the main, and a very strong car here the last couple weeks. Oh, and he's around. Number three is...
See, that he was listening to you, Mike. he was listening to you. Mike, I'm going to spin it right here. Caution is out. 8 laps complete. And we got the 33, the number one, both of those guys side by side up front. The 95, back to Oates in the 53. And we're going to have a restart here with 3 to go because we back up 1 lap by the look of the beautiful leaderboard on the infield here at Eastbound International Speedway. Got drag strip. If you haven't seen this racetrack, race fans, you got to get to the website. Have a look at it. It is truly a complex here. Mike, you guys are coming off a huge concert event. The Hoedown was just here, a week ago?
Just 7 days ago, actually.
Busy, busy spot here.
Yeah, we had Burton Cummins in the house. We had Lee Bryce, Rascal Flatts, and when I woke up on Sunday, I was like, there's no way we're going to have the ECC 125 next week. But the crew did a great job. Bob Smith and his team got it back to normal about Thursday, 4 days of prep. But back to the racetrack here, Joe, this is going to be interesting because St. George was in the second row on the first start here. So the restart, they're going to be side-by-side on that commitment line.
Preferred line here at the racetrack. You want to be on the outside, do you?
Inside here. The guys like to tuck down by the yellow. But St. George is a little bit of a tighter car here, so it'll be interesting to see what plays out here in the last 2 laps.
Yeah, beautiful restart that time. Starter overlooks the field, throws the green, and look at the start we got side-by-side down the back. And here at Eastbound, it is a D-shaped racetrack, so you can stay on it all the way down the back stretch. How about this, Mike? Side-by-side, give that one to the one car by about an inch with the white flag in the air.
This is going to come down to a drag race coming down the front stretch here now, Joe.
Good thing we got a drag strip down the front stretch. Little
IHRA drag race in here, but Murray's...
We got a caution going to come out on the back.
Checkered flag
flies. Oates gets tied up in the back. Who else was that with? The number three car. Yeah, Cooper. Well, they got together.
Now, I know we got to tone down the language here today, but Chris Cooper's from Old Shop. And I asked him where Old Shop was, and it actually is from the town of Dildo.
Is it? Dildo out
Dildo,
here.
Newfoundland, Labrador.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Unreal.
We'll have to take you down there tomorrow.
Dildo. Yeah. He would say, oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
me, man.
Captain Dildo.
Yeah. Guys could have a lot of fun with that on the race car. You know that.
Yeah.
You might get some looks when you head to the Maritimes. Yeah. They'd be going, hey, what's going on here? Anyway.
If it doesn't work out for Chevrolet, then you'd probably pick up at an adult store.
Yeah, you probably could. Race number one in the book.
Yeah, checkered flag for Ryan Murray. He's been a very strong contender this season. From Conception Bay South, he's sponsored by Brian's Auto and Auto Body and Exclusive Auto Parts and Rogers Bristow Moyer Law Firm. And it looks like he's got a championship in his eyes in the next couple of weeks.
Racetrack located about 25 miles from St. John's. We're staying out at the airport. Beautiful Holiday Inn Express. Brand new facility. Roberta and all the staff there, just tremendous people. We're having a great time there. It's about a 25-mile ride out here, and we came through Conception Bay today. I took some photos, uploaded them on Facebook. Blue skies, just breathtaking. It's beautiful out here. It doesn't matter where you turn. And here at the racetrack, no different. Man, you guys have got... It's beautiful here.
Yeah, Pat Squires really put some thought into where he wanted to build his dream. And Avondale was selected, which originally was a dirt track. And he basically retransformed and, built what he was looking for with as well as Dennis Weir. When you're coming down through Conception Bay South, there's a lot of history there from World War II. The Belle Island that's out there, it was a huge iron ore mine. And it goes actually under the bay. A lot of great sights to take in that 25 miles.
When you're looking out over Conception Bay on the highway, and I think you're familiar with the road that we came in on. We mm-hmm. didn't come in on the Trans-Canada. We took the scenic route. Looking out over there, I could see a big island.
Is that Belle Island?
See, yeah. The guys were asking, look at that. There's a big island out in the middle of nowhere.
A lot of history.
Yeah, incredible. We got a heat race number two on the racetrack. Mike, you know these guys. Take us through the lineup, will you?
Yeah, going to be out front. We got number 27, Dougie Collins from Mount Pearl, and in the two spot in row one, we got Lloyd Easton Jr. They call him the Mohawk Warrior in the 117. He's from CBS. And then in row number Two, we got Jonathan Norman, the 2014 champion in the car number 20. He's from Shea Heights. And then on his side is Bobby Tracy in that beautiful Richard Petty colors. That's the 42 car from Kilbride. And then completing row three, you got Chad Lawrence in the 96 from St. John's, as well as the rookie Gavin Anstey in the 85 car from St. John's.
Now, we were doing the IWK.
Oh, wait.
Oh, we got a late entry.
A late entry, number 10, Josh Ware. Who's going to be doing double duty, hopefully,
double
today.
Duty. Yeah, I was going to say, I know that name.
That is the son of Dennis Ware that helped us build the park. He is keeping the history alive with the Ware family.
We were out in the Maritimes, of course, doing the IWK 250, and spent a few days out there, had a lot of fun. That car, number 117, those guys were over in Nova Scotia running that weekend, and got a chance to talk to some of the crew guys. What a great bunch of guys, and they're passionate about the sport. They love it, and you got to know that Eastbound Park International Speedway has only been here now, 3 years?
2 years, actually. July 25th was our second anniversary, but we had three seasons. So the first season we did a half season.
Right.
So we're only 2 years in last month.
Yeah, amazing to look out in front of us from this big, beautiful castle tower here at the Speedway. And see a full infield. Pretty amazing the progress that you guys have made in a short period of time. That's a testament to you and everybody here at Eastbound Park. You guys are NASCAR home tracks. You got it all happening here.
Yeah, Pat Squires 2 years ago won at NASCAR in Newfoundland. You know, he basically said it's probably going to take 10 years. But we got on the phone and made some phone calls, and they seen what Patty had built, and here we are today with the NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series. And but we started basically with the NX program, so the U.S. Legends is very close to our hearts. And this one's going to be a unique heat race here. There's a couple of personalities out there. The 117 is a very strong contender.
Yes, sir.
The 20, like I said, he was the 2014 champion. And then the new rookie here, Chad Lawrence, been super fast. When he gets out front, he's got a very fast car.
We're in the 10, stopping down pit road, getting a little bit of service there, and he is now underway. He'll have to, quick like a bunny, catch up with the rest of the field. But I wouldn't doubt Mike James, we're going to see the green flag next time by. The 27 will, I don't know whether he's going to take the inside or the outside. Do they have lane choice here at this racetrack on a heat race?
No.
You got to go where you got to go.
Bob Smith rules.
Bobby Smith rules, yeah. Does a great job, too, my dad. Great race director, one of the first people we met here at the facility. Always a smiling face, I'll tell you that. Everybody, what I've seen here, there isn't anybody that feels any kind of pressure. They're pretty relaxed. They get the job done in a great way, and it'll get done. Don't worry about it. Let's go.
Like I said to you last week, we're on our 36th win.
Yeah.
The 10 car is still in the pits. Not looking good for Josh Ware. Maybe he'll be the hard charger in the main event later on.
That's not a bad deal either. We'll be following them through
the race.
A few
extra points. 2 points for the hard charger.
Side by side, as the green flag comes out, the 117 does take that jump. But here comes that champ you were talking about coming to the high side, Mike.
Yeah, and also in particular, the 85 car, Gavin Anstey. This is only, I believe, his third or fourth race. And he's been looking super strong, Joe. He comes from the motocross background as well as the sport bike industry. And he's just going over to the U.S. Legends, feeling very comfortable out there. And he's actually Ryan Murray, the 33 car teammate.
Well, Weir did make it out onto the speedway. He's going to complete his first lap right now. Here comes the field as they complete their second. So that will put the number 10 a lap down. But if he can catch around the field, and we do have a caution, he will jump back on to the lead lap if we go back that lap. So he's in good shape.
He'll be fine. He's just a little bit late for the prom here.
Fashionably late.
Fashionably late. Eason looking very strong out there in the 117 today.
Yeah, he is. He's looking real good. Coming up on the back bumper of Weir in the 10. A little bit pushy. The car looked a little pushy in the center of 3 that time. The crew will be hard at work. But look at him drop it down low into turns 1 and 2. That banking really comes into play, Mike. It holds you in, gives you an opportunity to make the tires work on the outside of the race car. Those right side rubber, you want them to be good, and They flash across the line for lap number 5 here at Eastbound International Speedway. As the 117 has a look up the inside of that number 10. And he'll drop him 2 laps down now when he comes back across the line. If he's got the lead, and he does.
Big battle for that fourth spot between Chad Lawrence and Gavin Ancy in the 85 car. Earlier on, you've seen the 42, Bobby Tracy, get a little loose. They're getting a little tight back there for that position.
As we are in lap number 6, coming to lap 7, the 117 with the lead, Lloyd Eason Jr. He is from Conception Bay South, Newfoundland, and he is on a roll here today at the Speedway. He's got about, I don't know, let's give him maybe a 4-car length lead. What do you think?
Yeah. Pretty close.
Jonathan Norman reeling that in, though. He is coming.
That's what I like about the Hanlon Realty U.S. Legends, because you could say 4 car lengths, and then all of a sudden it's 1, because these guys are, you know, the 1200 Yamaha, it's so responsive.
Yeah, white flag flies in the air. Who's our starter down there on the stand today?
Oh, Mr. Greg Strickland.
Is he the normal starter here at the Speedway?
He is. He's got a huge history here in Avondale. He was part of the dirt track, and when we opened the doors, Greg wanted to come on board. And, you know, he's got a rich history of driving here in Avondale. He was a driver years ago, and big part of it.
Checkered flag in the air for the 117. Lloyd Eason Jr. is going to get that NASCAR Whelen All-American checkered flag, and that's got to feel good for a qualifier. He'll get some notes. He'll take it back to the pits, and he'll hope that he's got everything dialed in, and he'll be the guy wanting to do that St. George 26th lap here today.
Dougie Collins coming in third place there. He had a rough year last year, blew an engine, and got back on the saddle, and here he is back in year 2, and he's coming up through. One of the big things, you know, you got the red box, the black box on the ignition. Some of his teams got that extra couple thousand RPMs, and now he's converted over, and seems like he's got it dialed in for 2016.
Well, we got the legend cars going to go pit side, get some more adjustments done, and they'll get prepared. 2 rounds of qualifying here today, or is it just 1?
Just 1.
Just 1 round of qualifying, and they'll set the starting grid for today's feature event based on that qualifying. And we're having a look now at some preparation down on pit road. We're going to see the Bandoleros come trackside.
Yeah, this one has been my favorite. We had a very small field last year, only 4 to 5 cars, and now it's gone up to 12, 14. And these are the future drivers of Eastbound Park. And like I said earlier, Owen Groves, Sarah Thorne have basically shown fans what racing is all about. A lot of side-by-side final laps coming up on lap traffic, one going to the outside, one going to the inside. And the winning between these two have only been by like a foot or two on every race. So very tight racing between the two kids, both 13 years old, both hockey players, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Sarah Thorne, she is the daughter of Ross Thorne, who's in the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman Series. And then also her sister, she's going to lead us out here in heat race number 1. Olivia, the older sister, is out here. So these big racing family, and Bern Hickey, the old owner of Avondale Speedway.
He spends
a lot of time here, Bern. You know, I had Bern up here doing commentary with us one day, and he said that, you know, racing's in her blood. Sarah Thorne, actually, her mom broke the water here at the racetrack and went to the hospital, and Ross actually stayed and raced.
Oh, really?
That's
the way, right? When it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
Oh, this is a big family in racing here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and we're looking forward to seeing these progress and hopefully seeing Sarah Thorne and the Hanlon Realty U.S. Legends next year.
Well, I look down below us here, and I can see we're reconnecting. So we got a little internet issue that's happening. Could be the clouds, could be something like that. But we will definitely keep our eye on that. With the automation, it'll keep dialing. But here at the racetrack, you've got us live, and that's lucky for us. We are here and not depending on the sight of something. There's only one good place to be, and that is at a racetrack. When we do get everything reestablished, we will rejoin the rest of the world, and we are reestablished right now. So If you're tuned in to racetimeradio.com, welcome aboard. We're just in qualifying mode. Things are coming together here at the Speedway, and you may hear the signal drop every now and then. We are out in kind of no man's land, if you will, but things are coming together, and we intend on having you along for the ride all day long with the Edward Collins Contracting 125, the feature event here today at Eastbound International Speedway. I got Mike James with me here in the booth. We got Bob working hard on that side, scoring, doing their job, got the NASCAR official uniforms on, and I look all the way down the end of the tower, and Jerry Paxton, the voice of turn number one on Racetime Radio, is going to join us a little bit later, along with Brad Mann, of course, veteran pro stock driver from the Maritimes, won all kinds of races, won championships. He's out of New Brunswick. Speedway 660 is his home track. But he retired, and he joined their Racetime Radio broadcast crew. So we're glad to have him along. And, Mike, I look out, and I can start to see some showers coming through. Maybe that's why we disconnected. Those clouds probably covered the satellite.
Yeah, the bandos are now going down pit road, and we're just going to take a see what's going on here. On the radar, it doesn't look that bad, Joe. So could get a little shower here and get back to action.
Oh, yeah. It's early in the day. We've got everybody. It's Saturday. It's race day in Canada, and we've got lots for you here. What we'll do, Mike, we got a shower. We'll get refreshed. We'll throw some tunes on. Sit back, relax, have a listen to that. And if you're tuned in, make sure you tweet us. You can do that at Racetime Radio, or you can follow along at the Speedway. Your Twitter handle, Eastbound Park, I do believe.
Yes,
I follow
yeah.
you guys lots, and we got lots happening there.
A lot of action for the rest of the day here, and I'm looking at the forecast here now. We're going to have clear skies tonight for the ECC 125. And, you know, just even in the drivers' meeting earlier on, you see the excitement on the drivers to have you guys here. And we're excited about what's going to come into play here in a couple hours.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be dynamite. Off the hook, I look down on pit road. I see the 18 Shannon Squires car down there. Is Shannon going to be in that car today? Or I heard last night Pat Squires, track owner here, was saying, I wouldn't mind taking that car if it's going to fly.
I'm not sure, because usually they do a combo of the 18 and 20 car. I haven't seen the 20 car yet, but, you know, Patty Squires, he's always got a few tricks in the back of his pocket. The last race at the Majak 75, we had a little thing. Pat Squires got a little loose and got into the 18. And, you know, it's very unfortunate when you take your own teammate out.
We're here at the racetrack. We got a full day for you worldwide. Let your friends know. Get on Twitter. Get on Facebook. Let everybody know. We're doing some qualifying. I want to introduce you to my pal in the booth. We have the voice from here at Eastbound. We got Mike James with us right now. What's going on, buddy?
Well, we had a little shower there. We're getting back to action here. The Islander RV NX program is going to come back out there. We got a little shower there, but all clear looking at the radar. We are good to go green, and it's getting exciting. Navigators just showed up. They're going to get the band set up. We're going to throw down a little party about 5:15 after time trials.
Well, if there's anything that I've found out the Newfoundlanders know how to do, and that's throw down a party. You guys are the masters at it here in Canada. We got the number 16. Sportsman car out getting a little bit of warm-up, but we do have Bandoleros getting ready over in that pit area. We've got a lot of cars in the pits here today. If you're just tuned into the broadcast, you're going to hear from Jerry Paxton and, of course, Brad Mann, part of the Racetime Radio broadcast. We're going to get those guys involved a little bit later. They're sitting back, relaxing, and letting you and I do the heavy lifting right now.
I'm looking forward to Brad and Jerry getting involved later on in pit road. Just talked to them about some of the characters we got here on the field, and one in particular, Ross Thorne. He is a veteran of the dirt. He's just getting the tires warmed up there and putting some heat in that track for the Bandoleros for us.
You know, that through the little break that we just had here, and we have seen some qualifying a little bit earlier today. We've seen the legend cars have got their qualifying in the books, and we just got ready to do Bandoleros and had a quick shower go through. But through that little break, got a chance to speak with a starter here today at the racetrack. Greg has been here since day one, and he goes back into the dirt days here at Eastbound Park. This used to be the Avondale Dirt Track, and, you know, Pat Squires came in, had a vision, and what we see in front of us today is really what we've got. But speaking with Greg, I asked him back about the early days, in the dirt days, and he just loves this facility. It's in his blood. He's on the starter stand. He said, I don't know if this is going to be my last year or not, but you never know.
No, we talked about earlier about retirement, and it was a big hell no. His lovely wife is a big part of our team as well. She's the counter here. And they got a rich history here in Avondale. They're from the area, and when Pat Squires put this together, Greg just was wanting to be all about it, and he's been involved with everything from our IHRA as well as our special events, and he's a big part of our team.
Yeah, dynamite staff here at the racetrack. We'll get to all of that a little bit later. We're going to tell you lots about this facility. We're excited to be out here on the rock, and man, we got a good day coming at us now. The weather has moved through. Stage is all set up. Navigators are going to do a pre-race show. And we got Bandoleros on the racetrack heating up the tires. Mike James, give us the starting lineup for this race.
Well, we got a beautiful bunch of kids that are involved with us from the ages of 9 to 16. But starting off heat race number one, we've got Olivia Thorne, 14 years old, in the car number 16. She's from Chance Cove. In the first row as well, on the side of her, is Kyle Hederson in the 19 car from St. John's. In row number two, Owen Groves, who is in a battle for a championship. He is your 2015 champion in car number 9 from Heart's Delight. And on his side is young Jonathan Upshaw, just 9 years old. He will be 10 this Monday, so big happy birthday to Jonathan Upshaw. He's in the car number 30 from CBS. And in row number 3, Jacob Lawrence, the son of Chad Lawrence in the U.S. legend earlier on. He's in car number 5 from Torbay. And on his door, Michael Neary in the 23 car from Torbay as well.
What are we looking at for distance in qualifying here for Bandoleros? We've got 10 laps for this one. Eight laps. We get word from race director. We got 8 laps in this race as the field is going to double up. You've seen these guys before. Who have you got? Who do you think is going to come to victory lane here in this qualifier, Mike?
Well, it seems like the two heat races here, they've separated Owen Groves in the 9 car as well as Sarah Thorne in 6. You'll see her in heat race number 2. They are the ones that have been going back and forth that I've been talking to you on the Sunday program. But right now, you got Olivia Thorne, the older sister of the Thorne sisters. Kyle Hederson in the 19 has been very strong this season. It's year number 2 for him. But have an eye on the number 9. Michael Neary's a rookie this year in the 23 car. He's looking super strong as well.
Well, Greg gets that green flag out. Time to go racing back here at Eastbound. And we got that number 16 out front getting the early jump on the field. Olivia is setting a good pace. She is looking at the middle of the racetrack, sort of just staying right in the middle. That's a good spot for that number 16. Looks like a good safe spot to run.
Well, they got a great racing history behind the Thorne family. So the 16, she had a little bobble there a couple weeks ago where she had the car upside down, and it's great to see her back in the car. No fear from Olivia Thorne, and she's looking great today. But Michael Neary, the rookie, is looking super strong here today as he takes over the 2 spot here on Kyle Hederson's 19 car.
Yeah, battle in that top 3. They were side by side, but it looks like the 23 cars broke away now. 19 coming under fire right now from the number 9. Owen Groves is looking on the high side of the 19 as they exit turn number 4. We got a side-by-side battle down the front. 19 gets it at the line, but that Josh Collins kind of 9-looking machine is on the move on the exit of 2. Looks like he is going to come back to the line. At least it looks like it right now in that third spot.
Yeah, he's been very patient this year. Owen Groves has had an awesome year. And, you know, when you see a child at his age, showing that patience and not putting it where it doesn't need to be, he's had a great, phenomenal season. And he always saves it for the last 3 laps here.
Well, we got a new lead change, too, on lap number 4. Coming back to Greg and lap number 5. Give it to the 23 right now. Out front, the 16, the 9 of Owen. He's coming there. He's coming side by side, looking up the inside now. And the 9 is on the march. Look at this, Mike, up to that second slot. Olivia back to the third spot. And the 23 is going to come back to the stripe, just 2 to go at the line this time by.
Michael Neary only 7 races in this season under the 23 car. And to see him out front now in front of Owen Groves is very impressive. He looks like he's going to have a strong day in the main event coming up. But keep an eye on that number nine car. Is he's going to apply some pressure now on the rookie.
Yeah, you can see it. Owen Groves looks up the inside. Don't know whether he's going to choose that lane or the high side. Decides going down the back stretch as the two cars splash down the back. Looks to the high side this time by Mike. We'll see if this works or whether he's going to have to tuck it down low and go right around the yellow line. Checkered flag out. The number 23 wins that one.
Amazing. This is his first checkered flag. So history for the 23 team, Michael Neary. Very awesome family as well from Torbay. They are sponsored by O'Neill Nissan and Flagco. Big checkered flag for that team. It's first of the season. Owen Groves, very much patient back there, and he knows it's just a heat race, so he's going to save it for the main event.
Michael Neary comes to the line. He wants to pick up that checkered flag, do the victory lap here at Eastmount Park. I don't know whether he's going to get it. He's, yeah, well, yeah, there's the checkered flag coming out.
Oh, I can tell you, he ain't going nowhere without that checkered flag.
He's going to be hanging on to that. How many of those do you go through a year? I bet you a lot of teams trying to hook those.
Daytona's getting a few phone calls for those flags, but... you know, this is a big proud moment for the 23 team. Michael Neary, when he came and met with us at the early part of the season, he's 14 years old, and he really wanted to throw down here this season. Had some difficulties with the car. Spent some time with Joey McComb earlier in the season. We had a technical schooling with Joey and setting up the bandos. And looks like his dad and family and his team have put a lot of effort into the 23 car here today.
He is sponsored by O'Neill Nissan, and I can't see Flagco.
Flagco.
What is Flagco? No,
Flagco makes all those signs that were on George Street last
night.
With the famous name Joey McComb.
Well, I'll tell you what, Flagco does a great job on those signs. They look really cool down George Street. Outside winging it last night, having a real cool pre-race party. But we're going to have another pre-race party here at the Speedway. If you're tuned in and you're out here in Newfoundland, get on your horse. Come on, you got to get out here to the Speedway. We got a great, great day planned. The Edward Collins Contracting 125 is coming up. If you're a heavy hitter at all in this province, trust me when I say they are here. They are in the garage area. They got the cars lifted up, and they're getting ready to go for tonight's main event. But we've got lots of racing for you here today. Heat race number two for Bandoleros comes trackside. Mr. Mike, tell us who we got.
Yeah, starting them off, we got young Joey Arsenault from Middle Cove. And on his door, I've been talking about her all this season, Sarah Thorne in the 06 from Chance Cove. In row number two, we got Noah Healy. He is no fair Noah Healy. He's in car number 84 from Paradise. He's just 9 years old. On his door, rookie Matthew Rideout in the 59 car from CBS. And in row number three, we got Nicholas Codner in the 54 car from Torbay. And rookie Luke Arsenault, which is the younger brother of Joey, he's in the 7 car from Middle Cove.
Well, earlier today, got a chance to talk to that driver, the number 84. I can tell you something right now. Noah is driven. He wants to win this race here today. He hasn't won a race yet. He said, but you know what, mister, I'm going to win. I'm coming to the front. Maybe today's his day.
Well, I interviewed him a couple weeks ago. He followed me around the track because I was talking to Gerald Hicks there a couple races ago, and I talked to some of the leaders. We're doing some pit road interviews, and the kids were following me around, and finally Noah looked at me and said, hey, are you going to interview me? Yeah. I said, hell yeah, let's do this. And I asked him if he's going to get some checkered flags this season. He goes, probably not this year, but maybe next year. And to come from a nine-year-old like that, I'm really proud of Noah Healy. And he had a little bobble there at the beginning of the season, and he got right back in that car. His family's been working very hard with him. And at 9 years old, he is one of the youngest bandits. And again, like everything with Bandoleros, these kids are the future, very similar to Dylan Blankhorn and some of the other big Bandolero drivers that have come out of Atlantic Canada.
Well, they line them up down the backstretch. You're going to come back this time to the green flag, and I can tell you right now, no one on this property is more excited than the number three of Joey Arsenault. He's going to lead us to green, but he's got some stiff competition in Sarah Thorne to his outside at the beautiful Eastbound International Speedway. Greg looks over the field. He isn't going to chuck that green flag yet. Going to give another lap to warm him up, I guess.
You talk about, you know, the driving skill at such a young age and moving up through. talking to Joey Arsenault a couple races ago, he actually got a girlfriend out of this.
Really?
Yeah. So,
no kidding.
You know, if all those kids that are out here listening, you want to start at an early age, grab yourself a bando.
Yeah, that does. You know, I listened to Joe Walsh, Love the Eagles, as you know. Listened to an interview with Joe Walsh talking about the early days. Joe Walsh started his musical career with a clarinet. He said, well, he couldn't get any girls with a clarinet, so he had to get a guitar. But here at Eastbound, you need a green flag, and you need Joey Arsenault on the pole, and away he goes. Green flag is out, but that lead he had, Mike, isn't going to last. You can see Sarah on the high side. She's taking him down the backstretch.
She has no fear. She dumps it into three and four like I've never seen before. And Owen's very similar, too. They have different lines than the rest of the kids, and they are going to be very strong. And we're looking forward to the big main event between the 06 and the 9 car. But have an eye out on for number 54, Nicholas Codner. He had a couple races last year. He is also one of the younger ones, just 10 years old. And that car came out of Nova Scotia. Tim Terry knows that car. And he's looking very strong today in the 54 as well.
That wouldn't be a Cole Tanner car, would it? Is it? That's Cole Tanner's car? Racetime Radio was on that car for a race or two out at Scotia Speed World. So, yeah, you're right. That thing is a missile, and it looks like... Young Cole is on his way. Cole Codner, I believe.
Nicholas.
Nick. Sorry about that, Nick. Up front. Well, let's have a look up there. We are three laps in on this Bandolero qualifier. A commanding lead for the 06 right now. Sarah Thorne is out front. In second, you got Joey Arsenault, and that is cross flags in the air. And we can see some blue sky coming in, Mike. This is good news.
Oh, yeah. Someone's looking down on us today because we're getting ready for that big party with the navigators. And Sarah Thorne is thrown down. She got a little loose there in turn four, but she knows how to handle the car. And Codner's coming on real strong now on Joey Arsenault for the two spot here.
I look back to places like... Scotia Speed World and watching some of these Bandolero drivers develop through the years. And, man, is it ever cool to see, especially when you can see the youth coming up and getting into cars. You look at, and you mentioned them, Dylan Blankhorn and Cole is another one, Cole Butcher. Those guys started young, and they're still doing it. And look at them in pro stocks now. Just wild to watch as the white flag comes out for this Bandolero heat race. Sarah, real good lead, but look at what we've got happening back here in the second, third, and fourth spot, Mike.
Yeah, Codner's got only three turns here to go here. He's going to apply some pressure. Hopefully he'll dive it in deep in three and four, but Joey Arsenault is still looking strong to hold in that two spot as he comes around. But checker flag is out for Sarah Thorne. She has picked up another one for the season, and she will be followed by the three-car Joey Arsenault and in the third podium spot there. Nicholas Codner in the 54.
And that's how that one finishes qualifying for the Bandoleros in the books. Throughout the course of the day, as we develop through the day, you're going to hear from a lot of these different drivers. We're so excited to be out here in Newfoundland bringing you live coverage from this beautiful NASCAR Home Tracks facility. I know when we get Brad and Jerry and turn them loose down there on Pitt Road, you're going to hear from just more than sportsman drivers here today. We're going to be hearing from a lot of different competitors at Eastbound International Speedway. They're excited to be here. It's developing. We're getting more all the time. I got to take some photos and get them up on Facebook. You look at the infield of this place and this racetrack, 2.5 years in age, and seeing how things are developing, you guys got to have the right formula going on because it's great to see a full pit.
Pat Squire is very happy today with everything, but Sarah Thorne coming around with the checkered flag, car number 16 from Chance Cove. She's sponsored by Bay Limited, Subsea Imaging, Turner's Garage and Auto Body, Finish Line Vinyl Design, and as well as our good friends at Robin's Donuts. We could go for a coffee and a donut. Right now,
coffee and a donut right now? You go ahead. Chat away. I'm going to take some photos just so everybody can see them up online.
We're getting ready for the Atlantic Dodge Dealers Hobby Stock now, Division 2 of the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. And we've got a full field here today. Joe, we're going to have a spectacular day as we get underway with the final couple of qualifying here before we head into time trials.
You know, I looked out there. I seen Jeff Gordon's rainbow number 24 coming out onto the racetrack. That's got to be a thrill for guys like Jeff Gordon and for all the big NASCAR drivers when they come to a local short track, a NASCAR home track, and they actually see the colors of their race car on someone else. They're inspiring young individuals and sometimes not even young guys. Yeah. Some of the old guys like you and I really look up to some of those drivers.
The 44's got freaky fast on the side of his. You know, you got the Napa Auto Parts colors on Jamie Drukin out there in the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman Series. A lot of teams, big fans of the Spring Cup Series, and looking forward to seeing what's going to happen here as we get close to the time trials. Looks like the 18 car is now finally ready. Shannon Squires looks like he's going to make it for the time trials. Gerald Hicks, the current leader, he's now on pit road, and he looks like he'll be ready for time trials. But it's going to be very interesting to see what the 22 Brandon McFarland does this day. As a rookie, here are house rules. The rookies usually start at the back of the pack during heat qualifiers, but this will give McFarland an opportunity in time trials to get seated higher into the rows. Fans are just showing up. Gates just open at 4 p.m. here. It's going to be an interesting day as looking at the lineup from the parking lot. The fans are finally arrived. Gates are officially now opened. And we see a bit of activity on the back row there now. Johnny Bishop in the 11 car. And we got our two big competitors, Robert Penton, who's in the two spot now for the season points for Division One NASCAR. But he's going to be challenged by Mark Bess, who's the current leader. So it should be a pretty interesting activity as we get into the heat qualifiers. Now, one of the rules here, if you seat 10 or back, you get the extra 2 points for the hard charger. So not sure if that will play into effect for the championship points here today. Also new to Eastbound Park this year, we do have the lucky dog rule. So that comes
into
play as well.
Yeah, it sure is. Speaking of NASCAR and the situation that you have here as a NASCAR home track, take us through those championship points. You've got a big battle on your hands here. When do the points end? When do you crown your champions? And what divisions are all part of NASCAR here at this racetrack?
We run two divisions here. What we're going to see here just momentarily, and the folks at home that are going to be listening in, we have the Atlantic Dodge Dealers Hobby Stock. That is the Division 2 of the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. And then our Division 1 is the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman Series. And we got about 24, 25 cars here in the field today. This is going to be an interesting season because one of the drivers in Division One are actually going to be heading to North Carolina for the big banquet. It is going to be history this year for Eastbound Park and Newfoundland Labrador to finally crown a NASCAR champion here on the Rock. And it's going to be a storyline as Josh Collins missed the first two races of the season because of that medical issue. It got cleared for the Pinties, but now he's back running for the championships. He's picked up 3 checker flags in the last 4 races. We had to end the Hickman Automotive Group 125 a little short. We're going to do a replay of that on September 10th. But after this, the ECC 125, we only have 3 races left in the season. And on September 24th, the Parts for Trucks 150 will be the final, and someone will be crowned that night. And it's a big battle right now between the number 74, Jason Groves, Gerald Hicks in the 30 car. They call him the Burt Reynolds, Big Sexy. He is the points leader right now, but he's got a lot of pressure behind him. The 74 has been consistent all season. And, you know, you got Josh Collins back there that if he can pull it off, it's going to be a storyline for a championship.
Yeah, it will. And he's got the potential, but that's the cool part about the way the points are, you know, distributed, what the guys are racing for. It leaves so many different possibilities. Things have to be lined up for you to do it. You want to win races. And it's funny, Mike, I talk to drivers all over this country, and I ask a lot of them the same question. Are you a points watcher? Are you watching the points in what you're doing? You get guys like Dylan Blankhorn. He won't even talk about points unless it's the final night of the year. And if he's in the hunt like he is now, he probably still wouldn't talk about it. Then you get other guys, man, they're figuring out absolutely every point every single day. Points usually take care of themselves when you race and you win. but not everybody wins. You only get one of those per race. So I guess you got to keep your eye on them if you're in them. But if you're not in them, and you look at Collins missing a couple races off the beginning of the year, Josh probably looks at it as I'm going to go, and I'm just going to keep going to the front. They'll take care of themselves. But pretty cool here at this track.
Yeah, and I mean, there's four races, and you've been at this for a long time, and four races is a lot of races. But right now, it's getting close with about six teams right now that are hunting that could anybody's championship right now. You also got Scotty Wright out there in the 91 car. He's been pretty strong this year. Chess Cole, he's our 2014 champion, one of the older drivers coming back all the way, probably 20 years experience on the dirt. Chess is always there. You know, he hasn't won any races this season, but when you have consistency like the 61 team has had, those are championship points. And it'd be nice to see Chess. He's got his daughter now, Rachel Cole, in the 88 car here today. She is the only female in the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman Series. Looking very strong for her rookie season. She's been sharing the car half season with her fiancé. We're hoping to see Rachel Cole. She is a young driver. She comes from the motocross industry. She has no fear, and we're looking forward to seeing Chess Cole passing the torch to his daughter Rachel, and hopefully maybe in a diversity program.
Yeah, some great cars lined up over in the pit area. They've been here for a while. They got the cars out. Drivers meeting went really good here today. We were in the driver's meeting. One discussion point, we'll have to watch what develops tonight through the Edward Collins Contracting 125. Question on where lap cars should be and should they heed to the leaders as they come up. A lot of talk about it. The officials have ruled they want those lap cars to go to the high side, leave the racer a lane, or leave the leader, sorry, a lane. So, you know, they're getting the bugs worked out of it. The show is going to be probably a little more expedited tonight as these drivers are honing in on all the different aspects. It takes time to get a well-oiled machine working, just like it takes to get one of these race cars working. A lot of time, a lot of people. Same thing with the racetrack. And having all those things combined, I think we're in for a great 125 tonight. Real good energy out of all the different drivers and team members that were in that driver's meeting. I know the staff here is wound up. It's going to be a big night here on the Rock. If you're anywhere in this beautiful province, you got to get on your horse and get out here. Straight up the Trans-Canada, 25 miles outside St. John's, Newfoundland. You got to get out here and enjoy it. Man, we got the navigators. Those guys are even dialing in.
Joe, it looks like there's going to be a bit of a change here. It looks like they're lining up the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman for time trials, which was scheduled for 4 o'clock. It may look like, I'm not sure, we'll wait for a final word from the race director, but it looks like the hobby stock are going to start their main in position of the heat races.
Yeah, we see Bob shaking his head. That's exactly right. You're getting this game figured out, brother.
Well, Bob's
keeping you on your
toes. Bobby's kind of connected to my hip a lot of the time, so he's a great race director and has been a big part of this team. And you know, to watch what's going on out here, even after the big eastbound hoedown there last week, to see the park back to its normal self and what this place was built for NASCAR. He's done a great job here with his team and the staff of Eastbound.
Yeah, lots happening across Canada today. If you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com, welcome aboard. Coming to you live from Eastbound International Speedway out in Newfoundland. Getting ready to go for tonight's main event, the Napa Sportsman Series. The Edward Collins Contracting 125 will be coming up. Qualifying coming on to the racetrack in mere moments. But I want to put a shout-out if you're in Ontario. Don't forget to head to Sunset Speedway for the APC Series. It's at Sunset tonight, so we'll keep you updated on that. We've got the Parts for Trucks Tour heading to Petty International Raceway. We'll also keep you up on that. You know, Tim Terry will be just booking it to Petty tonight.
You said Sunset, and just when I hear that name, I got to give a big shout-out to my buddy Mark Dilley. met him for the first time at the dealer meetings down in Daytona, and I got to say, what a gentleman, and knows how to throw a good time.
Oh, yeah. Mark is the man. Known him for a lot of years. You know, I think back to the early days, and Mark Dilley, when he was a young guy, in behind the wheel of a Sega Genesis car, he used to drive a super late model in the Oscars. and watching him fly around that racetrack. Then he went into CASCAR. He was a champion in CASCAR, winning races, doing a great job. And then, of course, NASCAR came to Canada in 2007. And Dilley has been a part of NASCAR in Canada since the day NASCAR came up here. He's one of those guys you got to watch each and every time in a race car. He's one of those experienced drivers that maybe you don't favor him when he goes out onto the racetrack. Trust me, that man can win races. You get him on an oval track, and he's tough to beat.
I got a pop quiz for you there, John.
Go ahead.
What is Mark Dilley better than actually driving race cars?
He is probably Team Canada's drinking team. Like
maybe.
He fit in well there. He is good at a lot of stuff.
He told me he's actually his claim to fame is a golf pro instructor for women.
Yes. Yeah, I wouldn't notice.
He is a golf pro. Yep. He's actually better at golf than driving.
He has a charity golf tournament. It's around this time of the year. I don't think it's happened yet. Probably in September, but we'll have to check it out. But Mark Dilley does a lot of great stuff, as well as promoting at Sunset Speedway with a guy that I used to do a lot of business with, Steve Slaughter. And those two guys do a great job at Sunset. They've got the NASCAR Weekly Series there as well. They're tearing it up, double features for the late models. And, man, have they got a herd of them there.
Yeah, Dilley, I actually teamed up with him at the LPGA NASCAR golf tournament there at the Daytona 500, and I slept in. And so I missed a good time, but hopefully this season we'll get paired up again, and hopefully we'll have Mark Dilley on George Street on the pole. And
That'd be cool.
Maybe Joey can pass the torch, because after last night, I was talking to a lot of people on George Street, and everybody was coming up to us and saying, who is this Joey McComb?
Who is it?
Who is Joey?
We're going to see him here tonight at Eastbound International. Joey McComb is here. He's going to drive, I believe it's the number 125 here tonight.
We're going to score him as a 25, but big shout-out to the ECC 125. Joey is throwing the colors down here today for Edward Collins Contracting. Big part of Josh Collins' team. They've been teammates in the Pinty Series, and he is a gentleman. His father and his crew chief are here. Great team, and it's been a pleasure to meet Joey last year at Kawartha, and really looking forward to the future of McComb being a part of Eastbound and coming down and actually doing some training sessions with our staff and as well as our teams there in March, and did a two-day session with our drivers.
Yeah, he's familiar with the late model, trust me. Ranbury Speedway, he's a champion in that car. And he's driven everything. Trans Am, of course, the NASCAR Pinty Series for Canada's best race team. And Joey McComb is a well-seasoned driver, and he's right into his element now. He's going to get into that car here tonight. And I can tell you what, I guarantee you, Mike, he's going to drive it for all it's worth here at Eastbound Park. And he's going to push show on tonight, but he's going to have all of his I's dotted, T's crossed, if he's going to go to victory lane here at the Speedway. The trophy for the Edward Collins 125.
You got the picture last night. It took two guys to actually transport it off George Street. So it's a pretty unique trophy. Collins and his team and them, they've done a great job with the ECC 125 trophy. A lot of money invested. They took, well, I believe it was a 350 Chev, and they cut it in half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it still
and
runs.
And mounted on an aero wheel.
Yeah.
And all the fittings. And actually, earlier in the season, he came to the track. He was missing parts. He was looking for parts, and he actually salvaged parts off the trophy for his car. So, but he got everything back together again. The ECC 125 is on display right now on the main stage. The Eastbound stage is set up here for the Navigators. And I know last year, me and Tim Terry, was displayed on the concourse. This year, we decided to actually put it down on pit road because me and Tim tried to carry it up. And it was pretty funny, actually, to watch Mike James and Tim Terry try to carry a 350 Chevy across the concourse.
Yeah, it would have been. And really, you know, Martinsville has the grandfather clock. And there's some unique trophies in our industry. But I'll tell you what, that trophy is probably the most unique I've ever seen. And I've never really seen one that is a team trophy. It's going to take the whole team to lift that. If you make it to victory lane, it's because you could count on a good team. You're going to count on them one more time to lift that trophy in victory lane.
Well, to give you some history of the EC 125, the first annual one was last year, and Collins actually got parked. It's like,
well, it's part of the game, right?
When I went down to pit road, I figured I would get a tongue lashing, but no, he said, fair enough, you know what I mean? They were battling all race, and they got a little tangly, and we ended up parking. We ended up parking Collins for the night. But he had a great time here last year. We had a great car count, similar to this year. And last year, actually, Chess Cole, the 61 car, took the trophy, and we had a grand old time after the event. And I believe Shane Coffin was on the podium as well. And we had a great year last year at the ECC 125. And traditions are going to continue this year and you on pit road.
Yeah, it's going to be a ball. Here out in this province, learned some of the slang, picked up on some of it. What it's going to be tonight is just a good bit of fun.
Yes.
It's going to be a good bit of fun.
Yeah, stay there till I comes to you.
Yeah, stay there. Stay right there.
Stay there till eyes comes to you.
Ah, is that what it, okay, I'll remember that.
And long may your big jib drop, me old.
Really?
Can't say the other word.
we decided to take a cab down to Wingin' It last night, down to the pre-race party down at Wingin' It. Josh Collins' car. We've seen McFarland's car out there. A lot of great-looking race cars, all on display down on George Street. The cab driver, I'll never forget him. He drives cab number 40. He used to be in the Carlton Show
Band. Of course
Show
you
Band.
Know the number.
The car number 40. Yeah, it was. I believe his name was Greg. I think his name was Greg. I'll tell you what, I haven't laughed that hard in a cab in my entire life. He's a little guy, little short guy, and he says, well, you just think I'm short. He said, my legs could go clear to the front. He had more sayings that we knew we were truly in Newfoundland when he was driving that car. It was a pleasure.
Well, the great thing about Newfoundland is there's so many different dialects. You go to England and you get the Irish, Scottish, Welsh. Here, you know, before the Trans-Canada was put in, before the railway, I mean, Newfoundland and Labrador has only been part of Canada since 1949, and Joey Smallwood put a lot of that infrastructure in. But before that, I mean, if you lived in an outport, you were your own dialect. So there's literally 400 dialects in Newfoundland. So you got the Southern Shore. Yeah. You got Josh Collins' dialect from Placentia.
Yeah.
Because he's got some twang.
Oh, he does. He's loaded with it.
And then you have the city folk that have a different twang. Where I'm from Gander, which is more influenced by the United States, the Air Force Base. Stephenville was an Air Force Base. Placentia had the U.S. Navy Yard there. So depending on where you are in Newfoundland, you know, you have some French dialects in there as well. But, I mean, it is the oldest city in North America, and over those 500 years, I mean, there's been quite a few different versions of several different meanings of words, and we'll probably hear a lot of them. I'm sure Brad's going to have his handful when he gets on pit road, because say there's at least 40 dialects down there.
Well, I'll tell you, some of those on pit road, we'll be looking at Brad Mann going, what did you say? Because he's got a dialect all the way from New Brunswick. So they've got their own dialect. We'll definitely have some fun with all of it. But the cool part is it's live racing right here in Canada. And you got to make it to East Mountain Park Speedway. It's real easy to do, too. Whenever you get onto this rock called Newfoundland, you want to head to St. John's, 25 miles due west, right? Mm-hmm. We're due west of St. John's. And, the racetrack's right off the Trans-Canada. Well, you won't believe your eyes, race fans, rolling into this beautiful facility that Pat Squires and his team have really put together here. From world-class concert facilities into some of the best short track racing you're going to see in the country. It's all right here. We're proud of everything we do across this country, but no one's more excited to be here than I am here today. This is beautiful.
You said we're westbound of St. John's, and when we came up with the name for the park, a lot of it had to do with a lot of things stop in Halifax.
Right.
The country actually continues on in Newfoundland and Labrador. For all you folk out west. And I've traveled, I've been in every city in Canada with our monster truck touring days and freestyle motocross, and I got to see all the parts of this beautiful country. And when we set out for the name for Eastbound, we wanted Nashville, we wanted Daytona, we wanted all the rest of the country in North America to look east, and that's why we came up with Eastbound. And it's kind of funny it happened, because the Eastbound and Down song.
Right. Jason McCoy, the Hammers, yeah.
Yeah, well, even going back to Smokey and the Bandit in the 70s. Jerry, is it?
Yep.
They'll do what they say that can't be done. And when we were 7 days out from the opening on July 25th in 2014, we had a lot of crew in from the United States with the Monster Truck Series. And a lot, even one of them in particular, the vice president of Monster Jam back then, he was out there and said, there's no way you're going to get this done. And I said, Pat Squires is at the helm. And yep. Everybody was putting in all the effort in the last 7 days. The fence was going up. The grandstands was going up. And it was picturistic, and this is what we have today, and it's pretty incredible because it was in the process for 3 years, but the last final 7 days before we opened the gates to 14,000 people, pretty impressive. And I know one particular car that's actually in the lineup, number 68, Justin Ryan, his father Chris Ryan, we do a memorial race for him and Dennis Weir coming up on September 11th. Chris Ryan was also a big part of helping build Eastbound. And unfortunately, he had come down with cancer.
Yeah.
And he held off and held off and held off. And he actually raced here at the grand opening. And he passed away a couple months later. And here we are today seeing young Justin Ryan in the 68. And it's great to see Josh Weir's out there in the 59 car as well. And to see those two kids out there keeping the spirit of their fathers here at Eastbound. But they were two big parts of this track and building it with Pat. And that's why September 11th we do Wounded Warriors 75, and it's our Memorial Day weekend.
You guys not only racing competitively, but racing with a heart, and that's what it's all about. Mike, look at this. We got the nod from Bob right next door, race director here at Eastbound Park. We got our first qualifier coming out onto the racetrack. Driver, the number 77, is going to lay down some times. Tell us about him.
Shane Eason from CBS has year number two for him. He actually tried to get into the first year. He's done really well in the last couple of races here. He's been very dedicated to getting things done here. He now got some new sponsors and really putting some time and effort into the car. Looking very strong there already. Now looking at the backstretch, he looks like he's coming off it there. But we're going to see what his first lap time is here at the first time trial here for the ECC 125.
And we are also going to be joined through this qualifying effort with some of the Racetime radio broadcast crew. We're going to hear from Brad Mann. We're going to also hear from Jerry Paxton, going to make his way down there towards the grandstand side of things as the checkered flag comes out from starter Greg. And what do we got for a time here? We'll have a look at the scoring monitor, and we'll be able to keep you up to date on the times here. The 77 of Easton has got his two laps in the books.
19.18
for the 77. We'll see who can top that here today in qualifying. We've got a lot of sportsman cars here at the racetrack. The Edward Collins Contracting 125 is going to be trackside in the Napa Sportsman Division here at the Speedway. Guest drivers, Joey McComb, NASCAR Pinty Series competitor, and man, we got a lot of real hard hitters here at the racetrack. 16 coming trackside.
I think we just clone. I believe Brad's in on this now. He's on the monitor over there.
Is he? Hello, Brad. You're going to keep your eye on those times, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is, and whatever I say, Joe, that's the gospel, you know.
That's the gospel. Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, next competitor, we got car number 16, Ross Thorne, the father of Sarah and Olivia Thorne. Legend of the dirt, been very strong the last couple of years. New car, actually, picked it up last year and had a bit of rough start to the season, trying to get that car dialed in. He is teammates with Shane Coffin's 02. It'll be interesting now because I've been talking to him back and forth the last couple of races, and they've been putting a lot of energy into the 16 car. So hopefully this is his day, and let's see what he puts up on the board.
Yeah, bay by the bay on that race car, if I read it correctly. Jerry, you're down there in the beautiful grandstand here at Eastside. What's going on, Eastside? I'm not at Mario's. I'm at the racetrack. That would be Eastbound. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, the sun came out. It is absolutely gorgeous in this grandstand. You know that chill we were talking about? It's all gone now. We got cars on the racetrack.
Yeah, he's going so fast, you can see some of the decals blown on the side of the 16. Thorne flashes down the backstretch as he hits the clock here at Eastbound. He wants to put a time up. He's got to beat a 19-1. What do you think, Brad Mann? You see him going around the racetrack. Is he going to do it?
Not that time. Well, it was an 18.09 first lap, so we probably pick it up here a little bit on the second lap.
Yes, that answers that one, Mike.
17.7 is usually around the top 10 mark here. You know, we've had 17.1s from Collins and a couple of other competitors. So
17.866 for the 16.
That's a really great time, actually. Now, the temperature right now outside on the track, I believe, is around 22 degrees. But later on, I think those carburetors are going to have to get adjusted because we're going to get down to about 12, 14 degrees.
Brad, man, you're our resident racer, one of those guys that was in a pro stock car. You ran a lot of races in your day, and thankfully you retired and joined the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. We had a little bit of rain here. Was it enough to wash the rubber off this speedway?
It didn't seem like it, Joe. The rain was coming in sideways, so it didn't seem like the track had hardly wet at all. Sort of like the rain blew over top of the race facility, so I don't think it hurt anything. The turns still looked pretty black up in the high groove and the bottom groove.
Mike, we got the 11 on the racetrack. Take us through.
Yeah, car number 11 from St. John's, sponsored by Hanlon Realty. That is Philip Fowler. He is one of our diversity program guys. He's from Labrador.
Right on. Nice looking race car. And I know, Brad, you're kind of familiar with that race car from yesterday.
I had my hands on that race car, Joel, yesterday. They were putting a motor in that car down here at the end of pit road. The track owner with the backhoe lifting it in. I was helping them put a transmission in that car. So these guys have done a lot of work to be able to be here today.
Phil Fowler takes the white flag. He was in the middle of turns 3-4, Jerry.
18.55.
That is a fresh motor. Should be interesting now if he's got it tuned in. A lot of time on that car this week.
Takes the checkered flag.
And second lap was a little slower at an 18.647.
Hey, guys, it might have something to do with the wind. I can tell you that wind is coming. If you're going down the back straightaway, it is blowing straight into the car. But when you come out of four, that is the tailwind you want.
Yeah, the wind just actually shifted there, Jerry. It's coming from the north right now. Usually, predominantly, we get a southwest. But today, the teams are going to be in for adjustments because now it actually has come in from the north side. So, hence the temperature change. We got a big drop coming up in the next couple hours. So, it's going to play a big factor. Cold air, big horsepower.
Oh, big time. Brad loves it when it cools down. When he was out, they had that 35 Coors Light car, the mountains. When they started changing, Brad started smiling. We got a number five on the racetrack, a driver that I haven't met, but I know you have, Mike.
Very, very familiar face here at Eastbound. That's Tommy Drukin, going all the way back to the dirt track days as well. He's from CBS, and he's sponsored by E&G Transportation, and he's been looking very strong this season. Had a few bobbles with the wall this season, but I actually got to see him at the Eastbound Hoedown, and he said he's going to have a great weekend.
Yeah, comes out here today at Eastbound International Speedway, trying to lay down a quick lap. Brad, what's the time to beat?
I think it was 17.86 or something like that, put down by the 16 car.
Yeah, white flag for Mr. Drunken on the racetrack right
now. Not Drunken, Drukin.
Drukin.
He's not drunk.
No.
18.127, guys.
That's my Ontario slang coming up.
Oh, boy. Here we go. We're going to have a battle here this evening. Much better. 17.63.
That's what you want to do. You want that 17.63. That's good. That's good lap.
He had a very good lap. Just the car got a little out of shape on the first lap coming up off of turn two, and he laid down a real good lap on the second lap. Generally, you always see a faster lap on the second lap just because of the simple fact that you get a little bit of heat on the tires from the first lap.
On the five car, a little damage on the front there, but looking like he could have a great night here. I know he's looking for a checker flag, been back and forth with him all season, and really excited about the NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. And like Greg Strickland, he goes right back into the early days here in Avondale. So it's great to see him still in the car.
Well, from Victoria, Newfoundland, we have the driver, the 02, Shane
Coffin.
There you go. I wasn't going to make any mistakes.
Mr. Coffin does some driving up on the mainland. Brad, have you witnessed Shane up in the mainland? I think Brad missed that.
No, I did. What did you say?
I said Shane Coffin actually heads over to the mainland sometimes. I'm just wondering. I believe he works with Frazier and
Frazier, those guys.
Yeah.
Well, if he's working with Frazier, he'll have every trick in the book under that 0-2 car. That's for sure. Frank Frazier been around the sport a long time and knows all the tricks.
Young Frankie Frazier, as the green flag comes up for the 0-2. Quick story, young Frankie Frazier got him at Scotia Speed World, one of the first trips we ever made out to the Maritimes to do a live race. And on a Friday night, Dartmouth Dodge 100, Frankie went out there and won the race. Did a great job as the white flag flies on the racetrack. The 0-2 has a time of 17.6.44. He's cooking in that car. Frankie comes back, wins the race, get him in victory lane. He said that car was so good, Mom could drive it.
I'm thinking he might top this time here now as he comes around. Oh.
No, second lap slower at a 17.77, so we still sit with the 5 car top of the board at 17.63. That's the time to beat so far in the time trials.
Well, Shane almost did it with a 6.4, just that much closer. But you know what Shane would tell you right now? If you had a mic in front of him, Jerry Paxton, he'd say, car's going to race real good.
Looked very strong out there, and he's had a great race there last weekend, and we're looking forward to seeing what he has in store for us today. He will be a top 10 contender here today, but still plenty of cars to come out for time trials here, and some of them, Mitchell Fahey's on the road there, number 29, very strong, Jason Groves, and now we have the 61 car, Chess Cole, and another legend of the dirt, and the father of the 88 car, Rachel Cole. So let's see what the old dog's got for us. He's going to have to change his number because he's 62 years old now.
He's going off of his age for that. Well, he's going to hope he's number one at the end of the 125. If we're playing with numbers, that's what Mr. Cole's going to want to do tonight. Jerry, look at this. Green flag in the air for the 61, buddy.
And a good strong show as he came down the front straightaway into turns one and two. He's going to pick it up now out of two down the back straightaway. He's got a good lap going. If he can just keep that car in shape, down into three, out of four, down the front straightaway. Lap number one is complete, and he's going to put a time on the board of 18.09.
That car actually came all the way from Calgary. Chess picked it up last year, and should be interesting what he has for us because he is the winner of the ECC 125 last year.
Ah, so there we go. Second lap in 18.120 for the number 61 of Shane Coffin, and he is going to be in the field tonight with that qualifying lap. See in staging down there, the number 74, Jason Groves is going to wind that baby up. Seen him practicing yesterday. I was watching, trying to figure out whether he was going to use the high line at the speedway or down low. He did a little bit of everything, Brad, yesterday. We watched him.
Yeah, he did. He had a real bad push in the middle of the turn yesterday coming up off of one and two. So they were dialing it in the pits. Had a little chance to speak with him yesterday when I was down on pit road. Chevy crate motor in it, and they were pretty pumped up. They've been working hard at that car, and they think they got a legitimate shot here.
Yeah, they're definitely in the running for a championship for the first NASCAR Wheel and All-American Series. They are now currently in the second spot now, just a few points back from Gerald Hicks, and very strong. He is also a champion of the dirt as well at a young age. He started out very young at 16 years old.
Green flag on the racetrack. The 74 pins it nice and low down through turns one and two. He uses that backstretch, D-shaped here at Eastbound Park International Speedway. 74 pins it down low. This is going to be a good time, gentlemen. 17.505.
To the top of the board for the 74 car here in time trials. That's the top time so far in time trials. See if we can better it here on the second lap.
Jason Groves in the 74. Heart's Desire, Newfoundland.
And he does so, rolling in at a 17.444. Top time of the afternoon so far, guys.
Very serious competitor here today. He's actually got two cars in the stable now. They picked up a second car. That's how serious this team is about a championship. If something happens to that car, they do have a backup that they just picked up from. I'm not sure who it was, but they just bought it. You probably know who the owner was.
Joe, they picked it up from Harry Ross White over in Halifax. Harry Ross White has moved up this year into the Pro Stock Tour, so that's a good piece, and they picked that up for a backup car.
Yeah, Haas driver of the 49 and the Parts for Trucks Tour, rookie status this year, and he's knocking it out of the park. But here's a driver that we did see at Riverside International Speedway, at least I do believe, the number 29 of Fahey, or at least we had a car with that name.
We did. We had Greg Fahey from Speedway 660, and ironically enough, it is car 29 that Greg Fahey has, but it's not Greg Fahey here, Joe.
I knew that. I'm just playing with you.
This is Mitchell Fahey in a 29 car. He is also in the running for a championship. He does have a checkered flag under his belt for the season for 2016, and Green Silk is out in the air now for the 29.
And, of course, he is from, where is he from? Northern Bay.
There's right an accent there.
Northern Bay, is it?
Well, they say Northern.
Northern Bay. And he's having a good bit of fun with the white flag out. His first lap, a 17.606. 29's rolling, Jerry's looking good down that backstretch.
He does have a good lap going as he heads down into turn number three. He's keeping it nice and low, glued to that yellow line as he comes around, picks up the throttle, down to the checkered flag, and that is going to put a 17.535 on the board.
There you go. I'm learning something here, Brad Mann. Watching down into turn number four when the driver pins it down low and lets it come up after the exit. I don't know. You tell me. It looked like they're getting a faster time with a 17.535.
That was good enough for second. That'll put them in second spot so far in the time trials for the 29 car. They're pinching it down low, but it's always better, Joe, to let the... When you pinch it down low in corner entry in the middle of the turn, let the car roll up to the top. Less friction, and you will pick up a faster lap time.
Now, the next competitor. Joe, I'll let you introduce this guy.
Well, we know this gentleman. We've seen him lots across this country. Driver the number 56 from Placentia, Newfoundland. The number 56 of Josh Collins. This guy knows this racetrack. He's won a bunch here this year, and he takes a green flag down into that turn, slams it to the bottom of the racetrack. Going to use that D shape, and you want it to drift up nice and high, keep the momentum into turns number three and four here at Eastbound International. The first time for Josh Collins as he sees the white.
There.
It's a 17.243. That guy's flying out there, and let's see if he can pick it up.
I believe his record is 17 flat. He didn't do too well in New Smyrna at qualifying. He always said he was horrible at qualifying, but here at his home track, he's done well.
Top of the board, 17.17 for the 56, Josh Collins.
Nice, Josh. Nice, nice. Top of the board so far. Can I get a quick word with you, and we'll put it on the air, buddy?
Perfect. Okay, we got Josh Collins in that number 56 car. We're going to have a quick chat with him. Josh, that was a quick lap. How did it feel inside the 56?
Oh, felt good, by a little tight, but we'll be all right. We'll fuel adjustment now.
It'll race better than it qualifies, or what?
Definitely. We'll be all right. Just a few quick adjustments. We never had much time to practice there. We had a caliber of a problem. We'll be all right.
Good stuff. Well, you guys go to work. Yeah, I know you got the team for it. We got Joey McComb on the racetrack. Thanks so much, Josh.
No problem.
It's Josh Collins, driver of the 56. He sits atop of the board, but now the other threat here at this racetrack, Joey McComb, is driving the 125. He scored as the 12. He's got a fast time. Car sounds like he is really winding it up.
That car only just got back onto the race surface just 2 days ago, and they actually had to change the carburetor there last night. And let's see. Wow, he broke the 18-second mark.
And he loops it down there, going to warm the tires up a wee bit.
I think Joey just pooped himself.
Yeah, well, he'll whip that around. That's what we call warming the tires up, Brett.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know, Joel. You always hate to loop it in a time trial. I know myself. that was the last thing I wanted to do was loop it in a time trial. But he was trying to get a good lap out here. But the first lap, he was 17.83 was the only time that would be scored here because you lose this lap by rolling around.
I think there was a little bit of pressure where he had his name all down George Street on those flags.
Is that the name on the... I was down George Street. I wasn't sure what I was seeing there.
Well, he had a lot of fun. You can bet he's going to race well. Joey McComb probably winding a little bit of front brake into that race car, and maybe a little bit too much. They'll work on it.
Yeah, actually, the first time it ran, he actually put it into the wall.
Did he?
And I know he picked on Josh at Mosport for the first race when Josh, during practice, put the car into the wall. But payback is a bugger.
A booger.
A bugger.
Booger. On the racetrack now, driver the number 68, that's Justin Ryan. He is from Mount Pearl, Newfoundland. He's got a beautiful blue race car. It's got that nice bright green numbers on it. We can see it all the way from the castle tower here. And let me see now. Oh, down into turn one and two. A little higher line that time, Jerry Paxton.
Yeah, he went into turn one just a little hotter, I think, than he wanted to. Had to gather it up a bit before he got to two, but he's got a good run going down the back straightaway. As, oh, little squirrely coming out of four. He's going to pick up on this white flag lap, but he's got an 18.189 on lap number one.
Yeah, this lap should be better. He had a lot better approach to turns one and two. We'll see how he makes out coming through 3-4. Pinches it down low. This is going to be a good lap, boys.
Really picked it up, a 17.685 on the second lap for car number 68.
And that's called scoring a little redemption.
That's exactly what it is. Justin Ryan with a 17.685, a good pickup, Mike, on that second lap. That's what you want to do. You want to just get a decent lap. If you do well in the time trials, you're going to pass cars naturally here, putting down a fast time. But you got 125 to pass them in the big race. It's a little bit of a trade-off, right? You want it to race well, but you want it to qualify well.
Yeah, it's going to definitely play into effect here. The top 10 here are probably going to end up on lap traffic. So, like Josh said earlier on the week on the Sunday program, you know, you got to be there in the top 10 and to keep it clean. But I don't think it really matters here because you're definitely going to come up on lap traffic here today.
Got a beautiful-looking 47 on the racetrack. Who have we got out there, Mike? You know this gentleman.
Mr. Brad Melendi from Gander, my hometown, one of my favorites. He actually is the manager for the Thunder Valley Speedway, the quarter-mile track out in Bishop Falls. And he don't make it out here to Eastbound too much because he's got his hands full with the other Speedway. But great to see him in action here today. And he'll be partnered up with the 44 team, Graham Tweedy, here today.
Yeah, he'll have lots of fans back home. If they're not here at the racetrack, they'll be tuned in, wanting to know how their number 47 is flying around this racetrack. Beautiful blue race car, white numbers on it, and a nice yellow inset on top of the race car as he picks up the white flag. First lap in 18.450 for the 47. He'll take that and run down the back stretch, coming back to the checkered flag through turns 3-4. About the middle of the racetrack that time by. Greg throws the checker, and we've got an 18.416 for lap number two for the 47. Respectable times, Mike.
I think it's been not enough time on the car this season. Spent a lot of time with the Speedway out on the quarter mile. And but having Brad out here today is great to see him. He was one of the originals when we switched the Bishop Falls over to the asphalt there about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Brad was one of the first ones into a car. This is his second car now, and you know, he's looking pretty sharp here.
Yeah, it's a Dodge body on that race car. Looks like one of those Pinty's cars. Reminds me of maybe Josh's car or Joey's car from the Pinty series. Yeah. Nice-looking body on that race car.
I think he was trying to throw down the hard charger. He was trying to get back there a little bit.
Ah, that'll do it too, won't it?
But his partner in crime, Graham Tweedy, also from Gander, he's on the track now, the 44, and he is going to be a competitor here today, usually a top-five contender, as well as still in the chase for the points for the championship here this season.
Now, sometimes these race cars can be deceiving with the different paint schemes on it, but Brad, you got a trained eye with these race cars. That look like a 105 car to you, wheelbase wise?
No, not a 105, Joe. A 108 wheelbase car, which would be a Monte Carlo body or a Malibu body, which is a lot of the common size for the sportsman cars these days.
That actually, the 44 car was built by himself, Graham Tweedy.
Oh, really? Graham builder as well? Just his own, or does he do it for a lot of guys?
Just built his own car.
Huh, that's initiative, isn't it? Is he takes a white flag, and he's built himself a good fast race car as well. He's got an 18.046-second first lap. We'll see if he can pick it up on lap number two. He dives down low in three and four, comes out about the middle of the racetrack, picks up the throttle, and his second lap, he does improve. A 17.966 for the 44, not bad laps.
Not bad for a pharmacist.
Yeah, not bad at all. Jerry, where'd you get off to, buddy?
Oh, just enjoying the sunshine down here in turn number one, because it is now a beautiful afternoon here in just near Avondale, Newfoundland. Enjoying this weather, believe it or not. It is fresh, it is clean, and perfect for going racing.
Fans are starting to filter into this big, beautiful speedway, and you want to welcome everyone here welcome in the listeners to Racetime Radio live worldwide today. Qualifying underway for the Napa Sportsman Series division, and we will see these cars back on the racetrack competing tonight for the Edward Collins Contracting 125, as the number 91 is on the racetrack now. Scott Wright from St. John's, he is hoping to knock that number 56 of Josh Collins off the top. If he's going to do it, he's going to have to really get that 91 flying here as he comes back to the start-finish line. A little loose that time, Jerry. Comes back, and that would have blown that lap up for the 91, probably. We'll get a time for you in a moment.
I thought he was going grass-cutting there, that little strip between the drag and the front straightaway. I thought he was either going to cut the grass or plow it up, one of the two.
White flag out for the number 91.
He
got right.
He is in the landscaping business, so.
Had a little trimming to do up there, did he?
Yeah, Scotty Wright, also a competitor in for the championship points here this season, and he's had a great season.
A lime green number 91 with a black inset over the hood and over the roof down the tail. And he comes back to the stripe. Greg gives him a 17.977 lap here today. That'll get him into the field. Don't know where it's going to put him, but it'll get him in the field.
And that sound you hear is Gerald Hicks, the current points leader here at Eastbound International Speedway in the Sportsman Division, as he gets set to take his hot time.
Oh, I talked to you earlier about this, Brad. This is the big sexy Burt.
You mean that's Tim Terry's lookalike? That's why they call Tim Terry back in New Brunswick, and I don't want to wish that on driver.
If Tim Terry grew the Burt Reynolds mustache, we would have twins.
That's a scary thought. I don't know if we'd have enough food for two Tim Terrys.
Well, if Tim's listening, we miss you, Big Sexy. But this is the real deal, Big Sexy. Gerald Hicks, he is your current season points leader for the NASCAR Wheeling All-American Series.
Conception Bay, right just down the road here from this beautiful speedway. He is hoping to crank a good lap out here today in qualifying. Napa Sportsman Series comes off turn number four to the white flag. And what do we got for lap number one? We will see it here in just mere moments. And the 30 car, driven today by Gerald Hicks, comes back to the line and picks up the checkered flag. We haven't got a time there, but we will get them. Oh, we do now.
Guys, there's something wrong. Like, it's not recording lap number one.
We've got 17.860 is what it was up there, but We'll have more qualifying. We still have more race cars to come out. We got still quite a few more. Great car count here today. Set the stage for you a wee bit. We did have a rain shower go through this racetrack earlier today during some of the other divisional qualifying. But, guys, we got blue skies. We've got a mix of sun and cloud. A beautiful day here at Eastbound International Speedway.
We say it here on the rock that the sun is splitting the rock.
Splitting the rock?
Splitting the rock, Joe.
Yep, away it goes.
Look at our good friend, car number 18. He is on the track now. Shannon Squires of Islander RV, very strong competitor. Works with Jerry Hayes, actually, out of Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Ah, beautiful number 18 car. And down the back stretch goes the number 18. Down nice and low, knows his way around this racetrack. Been around it a few times, pinches it down low, picks up that green flag now. He'll go on the clock, and we'll see what we got for a lap.
Lap number one in the book, 17.321 for the 18 car. Up a little short to knock off Josh Collins, and he gets good for second position, 17.279.
Earlier on in the season, Brad, Squires and Josh were running for side-by-side and actually got tangled up, and both of them ended up on pit road. So should be an interesting race here for the ECC 125 to have Squires and Collins side-by-side once again.
Hey, Jerry, can I get you to do me a favor, buddy? Can you pop that headset off and have a listen to the PA? You getting any feedback down there, bud?
Not that I've heard.
No? Sounds clean?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. That's what we wanted to hear. So, more qualifying coming up. Who have we got down there, Mike? You know these guys. I can't see the
that
number.
That is number 41, Jason Goss. Spends a lot of time with his business, Goss Landscaping. We don't see him every week, but the Hickman 125, he put up a really good lap time on time trials. So very interesting to see what he throws down here today. Come a long way from last year, and great to see him here at the ECC 125.
Yeah, nice, clean-looking race car. Nice white race car. Got the red letters on there, red numbers. The number 41 under the sun here, and he's going to come back to a green flag, and we'll find out what kind of lap the 41 can pull out here today in the Napa Sportsman Class at Eastbound Park Speedway. Down the back stretch. And he will come back to the white flag that Greg has in his hands.
The 40 will roll out of the turn here to pick up his time on the lap, 17.978.
And the checker flag did fly that time. We'll see what happens with the 41 as he works his way back. Still lots of cars on pit road. Lots more qualifying still to come here today.
I'm seeing the car number 7 roll out there. That is a car we haven't seen in a long time. Alan Comfort, brand new body on that car, so I guess the ECC 125 got him out of the garage.
Got him out of the garage. Here comes the number 24. It's got that Jeff Gordon Pepsi car look, I do believe.
No, that's the new Napa look.
Oh, is it the new Napa look?
Big look. Shout out to Napa Auto Parts. That is car number 24, Jamie Drukin.
And he has Napa on the car probably, right? I haven't seen the car up close, but the Pepsi car, the 24, are you familiar with it?
Yes, yeah.
Jeff Gordon's car? That kind of blue with a 24 just sort of caught my eye, but you are absolutely correct, my friend. That does look like the Napa paint scheme on that race car.
It is not Chase Elliott.
It looks like
it is not.
It looks like a Pepsi can, Joe. That's why it attracted you right away.
It did. It did. My favorite. That's my coffee, guys.
If that was the Pepsi car, Joe would be chasing that around, setting a track record, trying to get the can.
As we come to the green flag here, the 24 will flash it down into turn 1 and 2. Give us a little history on this guy, Mike.
Jamie Drukin came out of the Hanlon Realty U.S. Legends. Now his first season, his rookie season in the Napa Auto Parts Sportsman Series, and he's a big competitor here and very supportive of a lot of the cars here in the field. He actually is the owner of JDM Repair, and you'll see that sponsorship package on a lot of cars here.
Very well-liked competitor, and the doors of his garage, of his business, has been a big supporting factor for a lot of the teams here in the field. Very respectable time there, Brad.
Yeah, he got a 17.922, washed up a little bit off of turn four. Probably cost him some time. His first lap was 17.936, and usually we see them pick up like 0.3 or so on their second lap. So washing up off of turn four there cost him a little bit of time.
Spending too much time on other people's cars, I believe.
Well, if he's got a good business like that and he's supporting the racetrack, and you got to realize that all these people that got race cars get vehicles, tow vehicles that need to be worked on. So I'm sure that comes back around to him in the business end of it.
Oh, for sure, and he's very well liked here. He had a bad boo-boo there about a couple of races ago, and you can see the scar mark there in turn three on the concrete there. He was all the way up on the top of that concrete, so great to see him back and getting that car straight again.
Is that over in turn three where the piece of concrete is missing?
That is correct.
Wow, he must have hit a ton to take a chunk of that out.
Yeah, and up next, now we got car number 88, the lone female wolf in the pack. That is Rachel Cole, the daughter of Chess Cole. She is a rookie, and she is looking great in that 88 car.
Joe, we seem to continue to see more and more women come into the sport, and it starts at the Bandolero age, the young kids growing up, and it's nice to see the female presence coming into the stock car world.
Absolutely, and when they come out and do and turn some numbers and start turning heads, it's kind of cool. Females can drive those cars just as well as the big boys can, and doing a great job out there right now. The 88, nice and low on the racetrack. Is that time number one up there, 18.553? Yeah. And coming back to time number two in the checkered flag.
She goes a little slower on lap two, 18.77. So for her, she had a better lap on the first lap.
Yeah, one of the big things for Rachel Cole this season, she's been sharing the seat half with her co-partner, driver, Shane Sevier. And what's happening here for Rachel is she's not having a consistent run. So she takes a week off, and then she comes back. And but once she gets out there on the track in the main event, you'll see her get a little bit more comfortable. I think that had a lot to play in those time trials there.
That's a tough deal for anybody to be away for it and just go in week one week in, one week out. You lose your timing. You lose your pickup points on the racetrack. So you will see somebody like that improve as the race goes on. And here's one of the cars last night, Joe, that were down at the show, the McFarland car number 22. Nice-looking car with Mountain Dew and one of my favorites, Coors Light, on board also.
And wings.
And wings. They were awesome, by the way, too.
That is the wing in a car, number 22, Brandon McFarland. He is all the way from Freshwater down by Placentia. That is a car built by Josh Collins as well, his team, Stan Cook, and the boys.
He's doing a great job flying down the racetrack into turn one and two. Now down the back stretch, the 22 pins it down nice and low. What are we going to see for a time this time out of Brandon? He comes back to the white flag. First time is a 17.715. Great young driver behind the wheel of that race car. And I take a look at Twitter here, guys. Got Kent Corbett. He's over there in Nova Scotia. He says, Joe, you're calling these guys sportsmen. Are they the same as our sportsmen or pro stock? What do we got?
17.671 for McFarland on lap two, as he picks up a little bit of time.
That is his best lap time here at Eastbound, and this kid had a top five finish at the last at the Majak 75, and looking like he's been talking about going to the NASCAR K&M West, actually. So he will be a strong competitor and looking for a big future from the 22 team.
And, Joe, back to your guy on Twitter. These cars here, the Sportsman cars, are very similar to the Napa Sportsman Series over in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick. So very similar rules, and they are a sportsman car just like they are in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia.
There you go. From Brad Mann, a guy that knows his race cars, the number seven. I haven't got him on my lineup anywhere. You're going to have to help me out, Mike.
That is Alan Comerford. I told you earlier on, the last time I seen him was last season. He had a bit of a do in turn four. And great to see him back, and the car looks sharp. Beautiful orange colors here today.
and proudly supporting the Hickey's Building Supply, which is Burn Hickey's family, actually. So Alan Comerford's got a great history here in Avondale, and great to see him here for the ECC 125.
Yeah, met Burn down there at Speed Weeks. He was in there hanging out with the 56 team. Great guy. The seven elects, by the look of it, gentlemen, to pull that seven back behind the wall. At least he kind of looks like he's going to be doing that this time around. Yeah. Maybe having some trouble with it. Don't know.
Guys, the engine just quit on it. He got came off turn four, went to hit the accelerator, and that was it. It just ran out of gusto and collapsed on him. So they've obviously got a little bit of work to do if they're going to get in this race this afternoon.
And if you hear the guitars and drums in the background, no, that's not Jerry Paxton or Brad Mann or even Mike James. It's none of us. Actually, we've got a great band that's going to be playing on the front stretch here in the not-too-distant future. We got Navigator going to go and crank it up here at the Speedway.
Yeah, Arthur O'Brien and the Navigators, they've had a great career in the music. They've traveled all across Canada. They've got an amazing piece going on that's going to happen here just momentarily once we got the car set for the pit party coming up just shortly. I'm just waiting from Bob Smith here. I'm not sure if the 15 or the 49 car are going to make it out for qualifying here, which means we're going to get started here shortly for the ECC 125 pit party.
Maybe, that'll be fun.
Maybe Joey McCall will go down there and give us a jig.
Do a jig. As long as he doesn't sing, we'll be okay.
Pop quiz, Joe. What is a jig?
What is a jig? Well,
what is the Newfie jig?
A jig, where I come from in Ontario, it's a little thing you fish with and you jig with it. But out here in Newfoundland, I don't know what a jig would be. What is a jig?
It's, you know, you throw down like the hoedown, you know?
Oh,
it's a little
like scuff. A hoedown.
We call it a scuff.
A scuff.
Scuff.
A scuff. And it's a bit of fun, is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, Newfoundland and Labrador is all about fun here.
It's a good bit of fun.
We're just so happy to have Racetime Radio here today with us at Eastbound Park. Things are going to get hot down there. I see the boron, the sheepskin drum down there. You might have seen that in the Titanic movie. But a very famous piece of musical instrument here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And the Navigators got the fiddles going. They are going to get things rocking just momentarily. We're going to get those cars placed on the floor and open the floor to the fans.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. So fans, get ready. You're in for a treat here at the racetrack. We are going to step out, take a quick break on Racetime Radio. We will be back. We'll rejoin the fun here at the Speedway. What do you got, Mike?
Now, one thing, Tim Terry does make a lot of frequent visits to Newfoundland, and I've been trying to set him up with a Newfoundland lady, so he ends up moving here. But Brad's over here, and he's already got two girls on his arm already, so I'm not sure what's wrong with Tim.
Those there may be blow-up, though. I'm not sure. Brad, are those blow-up?
No, I would expect that out of Tim Terry, but I don't know how much you can do to help Tim. I know he's very good in the taste department with food.
Oh, yeah, very
good.
But
you might have your hands full filling the other department for that boy.
Well, we got lots of activity going on here. The Coors Light Fan Zone is open. Cozy Kitchen, which is, I believe Tim voted for the best onion rings here.
Rings right here?
Yeah, oh, yeah, deep fried onion rings, baby, here at Eastbound Park. Also, poutine taters.
Poutine taters.
And the Mike James special is a poutine tater with chicken strips chopped up in the middle of it. And so we'll get some grub here for you guys. And lots of activity. The Spring Cup merchandise trailer is down there. Team Roush will pick that up this season. Lots of NASCAR Spring Cup merchandise in there, as well as some great Eastbound hoodies that will hook you guys up now shortly. And get you back on the mainland with some Newfoundland product.
And we would definitely wear that with a great deal of pride. We're going to step out, take a quick break. We'll be back. We still got lots more fun to come from Eastbound International Speedway. Stay right there.
Roberts from Speed in the Hub. You're listening to Racetime Radio. From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
From classic rock.
Classic vinyl. Vinyl.
Lithium.
To today's rock.
Octane.
Just too young to care.
Alt Nation.
Come a little closer.
What's next?
Sirius XM U.
Why do you only call me when you're home?
100% commercial-free rock is on Sirius XM. If you're on Twitter,
follow us
at Least Time Radio.
Stay up to date on all forms of racing,
as well as a chance to win some cool racing prizes.
So follow us on Twitter
at Least Time Radio.
Canadian Tire Motorsport Park is the place to be this Labor Day weekend at the Chevrolet Silverado 250.
It's Canada's biggest NASCAR event of the summer with Camping World Trucks and Pinty Series.
The holiday weekend includes the Can-Am 200, Family Action Zone, and much more. Plus, we have free admission for kids 16 and under.
You can come for the day or camp for the weekend.
The Chevrolet Silverado 250 this Friday to Sunday, Labor Day weekend.
Discount tickets until Wednesday at CanadianTireMotorsportPark.com.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
What can I do for you?
My name is Elizabeth Cook. I have a show called Apron Strings over in Outlaw Country.
Okay.
Playing a lot of old outlaw country music, cool. A lot of new outlaw country music. Cool. We talk about all kinds of important things, like how to get gum out of the pillowcase.
Shoot, I don't...
Where do Venus flytraps come from? Do you need a chakra cleanse?
A what?
This is your formal invitation to listen to me, Elizabeth Cook, 10 to 2 p.m. weekdays on Outlaw Country. It's Channel 60 and streaming on the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is back.
And we're back with you live today from Eastbound International Speedway out in Newfoundland. Great day here for a stock car race, and we're in for a dandy here today at the Speedway. Navigators are going to be firing up here soon, and as soon as they do here at the Speedway, we are going to bring you some of that live, and you're going to be able to listen to the pre-race show. It's going to be a big old day. We got Mike James up here. Mike, we're in for a real good day.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm looking down at the drag strip here in the 49 car. Jesse Hicks just showed up. He did not qualify. He is one of our Bandolero drivers. He's just 16 years old. He went into the Division II hobby stock last season, picked up a checkered flag there. The car came open in the 49 car, and look who's into the big leagues now. Jesse Hicks, who is the son of Gerald Hicks, the current leader. Will Gerald Hicks next season pass the torch to his son?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting and cool to see. We got another one to add to the field here today.
Then one other competitor we didn't get to see in time trials was the 15 car. Scott Waterman had a big wreck at the Mad Jack 75 on the backstretch. Got that car back together. He's a little bit late for the prom here, but he will miss time trials. But it's great to see. He will be sporting the Travis Pastrana Xfinity colors. I don't know if you've had a peek at the 15 car.
Yeah.
But he comes from the motocross series here in Newfoundland, Labrador, and he's a serious competitor.
Yeah, cool stuff. I know we, Jerry, doing a valiant job setting the microphone up down there. When the band strikes it up, we should be able to dial the race fans in that are tuned in on racetimeradio.com worldwide, and you're going to hear some good old down east music. Tell us a bit about the Navigators.
The Navigators, Arthur O'Brien started this band, and he has a deep history. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Irish Descendants. They traveled Canada, all over the world. And his brother, Con O'Brien, they're from the Southern Shore, very big musical.
The full band there has been together for a long time, and they are incredible. And we're looking forward to when they sing the Islander song. We used it when we went to the World Finals for IHRA, and it's going to be great to have him here. He's a big big part of Newfoundland and Labrador, and the music's going to be rocking here shortly.
It is. And you telling me a few stories last night from those World Finals, and man, there's some really cool stuff you guys have got going on, and some of the experience that you've had so far is so cool.
Well, last year we became an IHRA member track. It was one of the things about Eastbound Park that we set out right from the beginning was to bring world-class entertainment. We brought one of the biggest country music festivals with some of the biggest names in Nashville. We've got one of the biggest monster truck series in Canada. Usually we go around 8 or 10 trucks here. We've had some very big successful with the monster trucks on the infield. We've had the Winter X Games here. We just had Nitro Jam here. It's all about world entertainment. And now we have the NASCAR home track here now involved with us. So this place is all about the big brands, and we're looking forward to it. Last season was the first year of IHRA. We made it to the World Finals in Memphis. We took Darian Legg, just 12 years old. He was 5 years younger than most of the competitors down there. He had a little bit of an older car. A lot of things were going against this kid, but he went down there and made it all the way to the final and just nearly snapped the world championship. Foot slipped off the gas. He beat him off the light. This kid, Darian Legg, he was the first autistic person and child ever to compete in the world in IHRA drag racing, and he became a super fan to a lot of drag fans around the world. Everybody was tuned in, Clay and all the guys. He is a fan favorite. He will be returning to Memphis this year. He has qualified for the World Finals. We will be heading back there. This year we're bringing 3 cars. So not only are we a 3/8 mile oval, but we have an 1/8 mile IHRA track. And Patty's dream is coming alive here as we continue to bring big stuff to Newfoundland and Labrador.
So even if you don't have a stock car that we traditionally see going around a racetrack, with this drag strip, do you have, like, just regular runs? If I'm, you know, Joe Blow, I'm Joe Chisholm, but I've got my car here and I live somewhere down the road anywhere, and I want to take it for a rip down the drag strip. Can I do that? Is there a specific time or a day?
Yeah, during the summer, we run a Wednesday night program called the IHRA Street Wars, and it's great because we get a lot of young competitors. Drag racing, you're seeing a lot drop off around North America. And what we did with the Street Wars was to entice young people to come out with their Honda Civics and anything from their mom's station wagon. We've had minivans out there. But for $20, you get to hit the light, get your time slip. It's all about being having fun and heads up drag racing. But we also run a very competitive IHRA program on the weekends, which we will have here next weekend on Friday and Saturday. The IHRA will be in the house. We will be running the last couple of Summit Super Series qualifiers for Memphis. Darian Legg has already qualified, so he's going to go for the junior dragsters. And we also have the purse racing that goes on here. And one in particular that I like to call is the gamblers. And that's when everybody throws into the pot. And it's almost like a poker match. And the pot gets pretty huge here, and anybody can win in a bracket racing because it's all about your dial-in time and your reaction time. And we have one competitor that competes in the NHRA, Dave Anthony, one of the fastest cars in East Coast of Canada. We've had him on the line in the finals, and guy just came out with a brand new Camaro, just took it off the racetrack and voiding his warranty here, and picking up a big pot. You know, anybody can win in bracket racing. That's the great thing about the IHRA here, and it's something we're really excited about. But today it's all about the 3/8 mile oval, and it's been exciting so far, and I can see all the teams down there getting their cars ready for the pit party that we're about to unleash on the fans here. Lots of autographs going to be in store for all the young fans. And, of course, our good friends, the Navigators, are going to finally get someone dancing down there on the front stretch. I don't know how many racetracks you've been to, Joe, but have you ever seen race car drivers dance before the actual main events?
We've seen them dance, but it's usually after, and it's usually just a couple at a time. And I know, Brad, you've seen that a number of times where you get the odd guy dancing after the race, and probably not a good thing that they dance after the race, but it does happen.
Well, you know, they get really excited, and I was listening to Mike talk about the jig. Well, the jig back in New Brunswick, involves a skirt. It's called the Scottish Irish jig.
There you go.
So even the man has to wear the shirt, but he does the jig with the foot. So it's a little different everywhere.
Now, one of the big musical pieces here in Newfoundland is called an ugly stick, Brad. And what it is a stick with beer bottle caps, a rubber boot on the bottom, and a tin can on the top. And you can pick those up on Water Street. Maybe we'll hook you guys up. Maybe we'll do some ugly sticking later on.
Some ugly sticking.
Ugly sticking. Very famous. Goes way back in the day when you didn't have a musical instrument. Back in the outport days, this is one of the big things with our history here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Very much a big part of our history is music. And you'll see here now when the Navigators go on, this is how it goes in Newfoundland and Labrador.
You know, we were having breakfast the other day, and Jerry started playing the spoons. I didn't know what he was doing, but he said it had something to do with down home.
I tell you what, anything to do with music and Jerry and I, it's going to be ugly.
Very good. Maybe we'll get you one of those sheepskin borons down there. You can beat a drum up here in the tower. But I see Scott Tilley and the safety crew here. Big shout-out to St. John Ambulance for keeping us all safe here, and Scott Tilley and the fire crew. They're getting all set up here now, and the cars are rolling out. But we'll be getting going here shortly. The music's going to be rocking, and welcome to Newfoundland Labrador, to the rest of the world.
Absolutely. What a cool spot.
And is this the first time, Mike, that you've done a pit party of this size for the fans here at the Eastbound International Park?
No. Last year at ECC 125, the Navigators were there. But our good friend Jerry Hayes and the teams from Nova Scotia spooled out a lot of fluid on the track right before the Navigators. We had to close the floor down to get it all cleaned up. But this year, we have a clean surface area. The fans are going to go down there so we can get ready for the main events. And so this will be the first official pit party with the Navigators for the fans on the drag strip.
Which is so huge for the teams, because the fans get down, they get to look up close at the car, get to see the sponsors' names, and maybe like fans, we always encourage them, the names you see on the race cars, go to those places of business, do business with those places. Also tell them you saw it on a race car at Eastbound International Park, and you're glad they're supporting the racer, and they want to in turn tell back the owners of these businesses that they're going to support them also.
Now, we've had a lot of pit parties here. One thing that's unique about the Napa Auto Parts World Series of Monster Trucks that we do year after year is that we actually combine the U.S. Legends and as well as the Napa Auto Parts Sportsmen. I've done monster trucks all over the world, and when we started with Eastbound, one of the things we thought that was really cool at the grand opening was to implement stock car racing to the fans of monster trucks and introduce them to the world of what goes on here at Eastbound Park. And year after year, we do the same thing. I'm not sure if there's any other monster truck show in the world that actually combines stock car racing. But, you know, they're here to see the trucks. And then when these legends and the sportsmen get out there, all of a sudden you got instant fan base. And when they're out there getting the autographs from Jimmy Creighton, from Bounty Hunter, and Don Creighton, and some of the big names in monster trucks, and these kids are out there in the bandolero signing autographs at just 9 years old, it's a really awesome thing to see. And it's a big deal for these kids, and as well as some of the competitors.
Sure it is. And a lot of times when you have special events like monster trucks, generally some of those people aren't race fans. So you guys are doing it right here on having some racing that night. And maybe you pick up 100 or 150 people in the stands that didn't think racing was exciting. And after they saw that, wow, we got to go. They tell some friends, spread it around. And it's a great way to gain some new race fans.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of the fans here at Eastbound Park. And, you know, you talk to them and, you know, they came and seen their first race, their first experience. And I don't know, I remember my first time at Daytona 500. I really didn't have a driver that I was cheering for when I first got into stock car racing. But when you have a driver and you're a fan of Josh Collins or you're a fan of Sarah Thorne, or it makes the experience so much bigger. One of the biggest experiences, and I'm sure you guys all have a race that you remember. One in particular that I remember is the trucks at Daytona this year. Austin Terrio jumped into Collins's car at the World Series of Asphalt. And then on Friday night, he took on Brad Koslowski's truck, and led most of the race until he got into the wall. And when you have that, you know, your truck or car, it makes a totally different experience. So the big thing about pit parties here today is get the actual talk to the drivers and get familiar with them. And hopefully, you know, you pick out your driver that you're going to cheer on for the rest of the season. And it makes a big difference when you actually come see a race. Number 78, Mark Bess, has a huge fan base from the Ghouls. What we find here at Eastbound Park, a lot of these teams are from different parts of the island. And when you got a bunch of people from Placentia, obviously they're pro Josh Collins. We got a lot of guys from Torbay that are pro Chess Cole. But when you actually get to meet them at a pit party, get down to get the autograph, see the car up close, and, you know, it makes a big difference in the fan experience.
I can't believe, Joe, we've been on a lot of tracks, and they call this hobby stock here. And a lot of other tracks we go to, they're called street stock. But the detail that they've done with the paint jobs, the paint schemes on these hobby stock cars here at Eastbound is unbelievable. They look like our Sportsman Pro Stocks over in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia.
Yeah, it does. They've done a really good job in preparation. I take a look down on pit road, and I'll take some photos after we get everybody out there as the cars continue to line up down the front stretch and the pre-race party is about to begin. We still got the Sportsman cars to come out. But you're right, Brad. These four-cylinder machines, we call them everything from bombers to thunders to you name it. But here at this racetrack, they do an extra special job at preparing them. You got a flavor of choice out there, do you think, Mike, that maybe runs a little better than the other? We see some Honda CXRs. We see, you know, some Neons. We see a little bit of everything out there. Is there one that maybe has a slight advantage?
Well, the last year, you know, the king of the track was the Neon. But this year, the Cobalt came in play. And Mark Bess out there in the 78 team, he is current leader with the King Lift team. Mark Bess has been, you know, has got a lot of history, not here in the asphalt, but a lot of history of the old dirt days. And he's had an awesome year in that Cobalt. So now we're seeing a lot of the guys come out of the Honda Civics and now going after that Cobalt for that extra horsepower.
Yeah, back in New Brunswick, a lot of our tracks, they make the imports run in a separate class up at Speedway 660. They kind of put a feel for the imports and then the North Americans come in. But it's kind of ironic to say last year the Neon was the choice. And generally on a street car, the Neon's not the choice. So it's kind of ironic, like they were the track champion here last year, and to see Chevrolet come in with the Cobalt SS this year. But you can tell by the look of the 78 car that that's a team that does their homework and has put a lot of work in their car. So it may not just be the car either. It may be a lot of work back at the race shop, and these guys are serious about the sport by the look of the car.
Well, the 44 team, Robert Patton, and the 78 team in the Cobalt, Mark Best, they have been going back and forth. Robert Patton had a bit of misfortunate circumstances, ended up losing a race there, had to come down pit road, lost a bit of momentum into points. But they've been going back and forth all season. And that's going to go right down to September 24th to the final. Because there is a lot on the line. There is a NASCAR championship, first time for Division II here. You know, traveling to New Smyrna and other speedways, you know, Division II sometimes is a sportsman and Division I is a pro stock. So these guys in the Atlantic Dodge Dealers Hobby Stock are very fortunate to be in a Division II class, and they've been taking it very serious. Like you said, you're looking at the paint schemes and that. When we introduced the NASCAR home tracks here, this was probably the biggest explosion. We went from like 18 cars to almost 32 cars. And looking at it today, we've got quite a big field of hobby stocks here. And this is one of Tim Terry's favorites, actually, here at Eastbound, because you're getting a lot of 3-4 wide sometimes. These guys drive it in pretty deep. There is a little bumping and rubbing going on in this class. But some of the best racing has come from Division II NASCAR here.
We got the big dogs starting to make their way out onto the speedway. The Napa Sportsman cars that are going to compete today in our main event, which is the Edward Collins Contracting 125. You're going to have live coverage of absolutely every feature event and everything that takes place here today at Eastbound Park Speedway, and it's just a beautiful racetrack. You see the guys doubling up down the backstretch.
Yeah, I'm looking at Brandon McFarland in the 22 car. You know, Josh Collins has done a great job of bringing this kid under his wing. They're both from the same area. Brandon being the rookie and the young kid, Josh spent a lot of time building that car for him, and it's always great to see,
that synergy
between two teams, and how much McFarland looks up to Josh, and it's great to even see the Bandos look at where Josh has gone to the Pinties, gone to the World Series of Asphalt, and he's really set the bar for a lot of the teams here. Because one of the things that I learned a long time ago when I raced World Championship Formula Racing in Detroit was a lot of people just didn't believe that you could get that far. It goes back to even Darian Legg in the IHRA, second in the world. You know, when you put the time and effort into something, you can achieve anything you want. Anything's possible. Collins is one of those examples that has set that bar. He went down the World Series of Asphalt 3 years ago with a mission. Now he's in the Pinty Series looking at a full season next season. He had a little bit unfortunate with the sponsorship this year, but we're looking forward. And I can see Brandon McFarland already setting his eyes on K&M West, and he's been talking to some teams in the U.S., and it's great to see some of the Bandos looking up to some of the other veteran drivers and saying, hey, we can do this.
They can, and they can do it real good right here at this racetrack. What a perfect stepping stone. If you've got a love for this sport, this is where it all begins right here. You've got the right levels. You can step on the stones that you need to, and then you can go on from here. What you learn here is invaluable when you get to the next level. I look at Josh Collins. I remember the first time he showed up at New Smyrna Speedway. We were down doing some live broadcasting from Daytona. We were out at New Smyrna, and I seen this number 56 car, and I seen actually Paul McLean from Riverside International Speedway, and I said, Paul, who's that 56 guy? He's from Canada. Where is he? And he said, oh, that's Josh Collins. He's from Newfoundland. He said, that's Donald's car from last year is what he was in, and I kept an eye on the number 56, and Josh, that particular night, didn't have a good night. He went through a big learning curve on that high bank half mile New Smyrna Speedway. He smoked the wall. And, you know, racers at that point can go out and say, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I'll call it a day and I'll pick up some other kind of race car and stay at my local racetrack. Not the case with Josh Collins. He took that, learned from it. Those guys went hard at it. Rebuilt that race car. You were probably even there, Mike.
Yeah,
put it back together and go.
He got involved with Mike McCall out of Ontario, and they built a new race car that he currently runs down in New Smyrna, and did a great job there. And he's done some changes to that car. This year was a bit unfortunate. I think a lot of it had to do. He had a family emergency that he had to fly home, where Austin Terrio jumped into the car for him, had an awesome race, and you know, I don't think his head was all there this year.
Right, right.
But, you know, he jumped in the Pinty Series. His first road course was in Montreal. He got his feet wet. And then, of course, at Molson Indy, or sorry, the Toronto Indy, not the Molson Indy.
Honda Indy.
Going back to the old days here from the Formula guy here. But I was really impressed with Collins at the Toronto Indy. He got dumped there at the, I think it was the final lap. He was in the with the lap traffic there. And, you know, it was unfortunate, but he looked super strong in his second road course. And it's not easy for a guy from the oval to jump over to the road course. He did spend some time in Mount Tremblant with, I believe that was LP Dumoulin.
LP Dumoulin.
Dumoulin.
Dumoulin. Yeah, yeah. The WeatherTech.ca.
Ontario French versus Newfoundland French here.
Dynamite guy.
But, yeah, he had a great time in Mont Tremblant. I know you don't use the heel and toe very much in the road courses with Pinties, but he definitely got his feet wet in Mont Tremblant, and he's got two road courses under his belt, and he's looking forward to the 2017 season.
Well, let me tell you who we got coming up. Live tomorrow night, we are going to do the Sunday night program slightly earlier than we normally do. CFL game is going to be on the channel, but we will have our live Sunday night show. We're going to do it from winging it right here on the Rock. We've got some great guests lined up, as well as a lot. Hopefully, everyone here comes out and joins us. We plan on having lots of Newfoundland drivers and a lot of drivers from Eastbound Park on that program, but we'll also have some live guests. As you know, we've got a big, big race coming up in Canada next weekend. We've got the NASCAR Camping World Trucks coming in to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and lined up tomorrow night, we'll have them live on the air with us at Winging It. You'll hear from Ron Fellows, an icon in Canadian road course racing, course raced in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series a bunch of times, ran and won the Montreal Nationwide race. He was the first winner of that race. He's won a NASCAR Camping World Truck race. Ron Fellows, an accomplished racer, he is going to be on our show tomorrow night. We'll also hear from current NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Canadian driver. We got Cameron Haley going to join us for Thor Sport. He's going to be on. We'll hear from Spencer Gallagher. We all know the Allegiant Travel Chevy. Spencer's going to join us. Gary Klute was just announced to drive the number 51 in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series for KBM. Gary Klute is going to join us live as well tomorrow night on Race Time. It's going to get underway at 5:30 local time here. So that is 7 p.m. Eastern in Ontario. Well, we're going to get underway at 5:30 local time. Come on out and join us. We're going to have a good old time at Wild Wing. The location of the Wild Wing.
Winging it.
Wild Wing.
That is going to be on Hebron Way over by Stavanger Drive. It's a brand new restaurant. Beautiful restaurant that they put together. And I'm sure we're going to have a great time to end this weekend. It's not very often we have a race that starts on a Friday on George Street and ends at the Winging It on Sunday. So it's been an awesome pleasure to have Race Time Radio here at Eastbound Park. And looking forward to many other events together. Maybe taking some action down in Daytona this year, but super excited. Looks like the floor has been set. They are now going to allow fans down on the track here. I'm just waiting from the race director here, Bob Smith. Fans are getting ready to hit the floor here.